gain those powers of being in public is almost a year after its inception. Pokemon Go may finally include the original 151 if five choice words are a clue. This summer may be legendary, but tonight will be packed with the latest gaming news, and it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight with episode number 688 for this, May the 28th of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts, here with you in studio, with you guys in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, where we do tape live Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. I am joined in studio with Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers. How are you today?
I've got a shot of rum in me.
Yes, it is a three-day weekend here in the States. As I learned, it's a three-day weekend lots of places this weekend. But here in the States, we're honoring Memorial Day, which is Monday. So, of course, a moment to remember those who have, you know, passed away.
Died.
Yeah, defending our right to free speech and being able to be here and, you know, among many, many other things, of course.
Well, yes, including the ones who fought for us that we never fought for them.
Yes, yes. So a moment for that. And, you know, that does make things a three-day weekend here in the States.
Which in America, it means that you sell cars and drink.
Yes. So and barbecue.
And barbecue.
And travel, usually. We didn't travel, though. We're all here. But we
traveled to your place.
We may be partaking in a little bit of the alcohol tonight. Which, speaking of which, hi, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
You're three shots in, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
We can enjoy libations.
Unfortunately, that is the max I can have in order to be sober by the time the show ends. So.
The three shots are 3 hours, I understand. Yep. But you're feeling pretty good?
I'm feeling great now.
Great. He's ready to roll.
I'm ready to do this.
We should get him started. So, Nintendo.
So, what about Nintendo?
I was going to ask if you tried the test punch, but you can't. You don't own a Switch. So, I don't know. You what do you think of ARMS when you look at that stuff?
I think it's a game. I mean, I think they're trying to really force it to be like an esports game, which you can't really force that. You have to have it be popular first in order for it to actually be something that people would want to play for esports. But they're like, no, it's esports. It is. Make it esports. I mean, so it's just, it's a little forced. I mean, it looks like a fun game. I don't know. I played Wii Sports Boxing, and that seems kind of similar to that. It's just, I don't know. Whatever.
It's one of those things I feel like I really can't accurately judge until I get my hands on it, which is why I'm really excited that they're doing this test punch this weekend, except for the fact that because it's so limited, I have not been able to play it yet. I've been doing other things each and every time that they had that hour open. Well, I wasn't going to get up at 5 a.m., let's be real. But still, you know, I've been busy. So I'll do it next weekend. I have more availability next
week. I worry
that
the game will get boring pretty fast.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be.
It seems like there's a lot of different modes and things, but, yeah. You know, I don't know. It seems like there might be more to it than, say, Ultra Street Fighter 2, which, you know, I have such mixed feelings on that whole thing because I get it. Street Fighter 2 is such a legendary game. It is, you know, one of the most important video games. It really
well, you
is
know what?
Time.
They should do a crossover with ARMS. They should have Dhalsim in there. And
anything's possible.
Come on. I mean, why not?
But no, with the Ultra Street Fighter 2, it's just it just stings a lot that this isn't that different from the HD remix that came out 10 years ago, uh-huh. And they're charging $40 for it.
Yep.
Like, and I get the whole fact that it's cartridges all, but it's just, dudes, you got to give me something more. And this whole first person, blah, blah, that's not it. That's like that throwaway game that you shoved into a Wii thing because you had to have motion control somewhere in it. Like, Street Fighter 2 is strong enough to stand on its own, but maybe, you know, it could have been some more characters, or it could have been, you know, maybe HD-er, more HD-er.
Or just don't necessarily do Street Fighter 2. You could do, like, do a different Street Fighter game. Here's a crazy idea. Come up with a brand new Street Fighter game, but just include characters like from like the 90s games or something like that. Oh, hey, we're going to have like, or maybe not 90s, early 2000s as well. So like, you know, Street Fighter 2 and 3 characters and like some other characters here. And it can all be in that Street Fighter 2 style. I mean, I guess they'd have to do the balancing and stuff, but like, just get all the 2D characters that they have.
Was there any character, Jamie, you know these fighting games better than I do, maybe chat knows, were there any fighters in Street Fighter 2 and 3 who didn't show up in 4 and the numerous expansions. I mean, remember, by the time they got to the end of Street Fighter IV, that roster was gigantic. They didn't even just have Street Fighter characters. They had Final Fight characters. They had a lot of different stuff in Street Fighter IV.
I'm thinking about it. Did we have Sodom? No, he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Let's just put it this way, okay?
Junie and Julie.
Yeah, Elena.
Karin.
Yeah, so I feel like they were all there.
So here's what I want to know is why they went back to Street Fighter 2.
Dudley.
Didn't Dudley show up? Maybe not.
And Steve.
Why did they go back to Street Fighter 2 when they went, like, they did Street Fighter 4 3D on the 3DS? I mean, clearly the Switch should be able to run Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just do, well, like, one of those games? I know where well, some of the point was.
Well, see, if they'd done Street Fighter 4, then people would be giving them shit because you just did this on the 3DS. And, you know, it would kind of be the same line. So I kind of get...
if they would do that, but, I mean, it's... Whatever. I just don't think it's justifiable for the $40 price.
I know what they could have done. And Capcom has done an awesome job at some of these lately. So they did their Mega Man collection, which was cool. That Disney morning collection with a lot of games that people love and some that
weren't the ROM hacks. The Street Fighter ROM hacks. Yeah.
Well, no, but do a 90s fighting game collection. And do these things. Put Street Fighter and Darkstalkers. And, well, Capcom X-Men is probably going to be a little harder to get all those licenses, but at least, you know, those and what maybe Capcom SNK. I don't know what else they could probably pull out. I mean, they might have to go to, like, Street Fighter EX or something that was a little...
I would love to see a new Capcom SNK game.
Oh, my God. I would love a good Street Fighter EX because Skullamania.
But I mean, you know, why not at least maybe...
Rival Schools?
Okay, yes, thank you. Rival Schools, and put them in a collection, and now that's going to justify a lot more of that $40 price tag.
Yeah, I think that's not even maybe necessarily all fighting. You can just do a 90s arcade collection.
Sure. Oh, man, Capcom had some killer arcade games in the 90s. Y'all know I love Quiz and Dragons, and right. It's 90s-rific. Although, Capcom did do an arcade collection on PS3, I think. Because I seem to remember they had like different packs in that, and I think it's on what's PlayStation streaming service, the PlayStation Now thing. You can actually play it through that right now. So they had like five different packs, but I don't think Street Fighter was in there. I don't want to say the B cuts because it did have like Ghosts and Goblins, you know, some of those, you know, classics. But there were a lot. It was a lot of B cuts for filler stuff.
I just think that a lot of this price point stuff has to do with the fact that all the other games are kind of that price point, and it's like, well, we could make our game cheaper, but what else are you going to buy? Because they're all $40 or $60.
Yeah.
I mean, like Minecraft. I mean, come on. Minecraft, I get it. It's Minecraft, and they've charged, you know, quite a bit of money on all the different console versions, but, dude, it's been out forever on all the other platforms. And I hear people saying, well, it's because the Mario DLC's in there. The Mario DLC was free, by the way, for the Wii U version. I've never picked up a DLC pack.
Okay, but that was to justify people buying the Wii U version years after 360 and PlayStation 3.
Well, this is years after the Wii U version, so what do we have to say about that?
Yeah, well, no, that's true. Well, the fact that it is portable and console. If you think about it, this is the first time that the portable version has been so rich. If that makes sense.
Well, if I want a portable console version, I could get the Vita version, play it on my PlayStation TV, and play it on my Vita.
All right, fair enough. I forgot about the Vita version. I forgot they released it on the Vita. Fair enough.
No, I think a lot of people forget about the Vita.
Well, a lot of people forgot about their Vita, period.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, I have a Vita? What's this?
It's kind of... That's on Sony. I mean, the Vita's still healthy in Japan.
I honestly mean, the Vita is maybe just a little bit before its time, because look at, like... Look at how well the Switch is doing. I mean, how hard would it be for them to adapt the kind of Switch-like platform for the Vita?
Not to keep going tangent to tangent. Sorry. But no. It's good. But I forgot what I was going to ask. I shouldn't have started drinking for the show. something about the Vita. This whole PlayStation VR and the way Sony supports hardware. I was just having this conversation the other day that like I kind of want to get a PlayStation VR. Because I think the 3D Blu-ray thing is really awesome that you can do. Obviously,
haven't done that yet.
I want Rez. I want Thumper. You know, there's a fair amount of games. But I'm worried about what does the next year look like for PlayStation VR? I'm a little worried Sony's going to abandon it like they do most of their hardware
stuff. I don't think they're going to abandon it, but we don't know a whole lot of stuff what's coming out yet. There's no real big AAA games on the horizon that have been announced yet.
Now, E3 is in 2 weeks,
right,
so that could change everything.
I think it's a pretty strong platform. I'm worried that they're going to do a hardware revision before anything, but... No. It's fun. It's just right now it's being driven mostly by indies. I mean, really the biggest AAA title that you have on there, I would say, is probably Resident Evil. That's more of the most fully featured games. And then Farpoint is another one that's kind of that. I don't know if that's more of an indie game, but it's or at least the developer. I'm not sure if it's a, you know, AAA developer, but I mean they're backing that with like its own peripheral and stuff, so obviously that's a pretty big deal.
And in fact, Bobby kind of echoes that in chat, pointing out Farpoint and Star Trek Bridge Crew as well as being pushed. I'm a little worried about the Bridge Crew game.
I don't know. I mean, that's Ubisoft. Ubisoft likes to say everything is big, just like their stupid Eagle Flight game and all that.
I'll try it. I mean, don't get me wrong.
No, yeah. I mean, that's fine. But like, I think, I mean, even with what's on the platform right now, there's a lot of good stuff on there. There's also a lot of crap, because there are people that will produce like, oh, hey, I really want a roller coaster game on the PlayStation VR. And then they made a roller coaster game and it's just absolute shit. And so you just have to be careful. But there is a lot of good stuff out there.
Let me get some of these other comments in chat room. Going back a little bit, Dark Tetsuya talking about the price of Street Fighter, saying, if I had a Switch, I'd probably wait till holiday. 40 is a bit much, but 20 to 30 wouldn't be as bad. At least what I hear, the online is actually good at it. ActDef pointing out that Dudley did appear in Street Fighter 4. Sorry, it's in all honesty, it's been a long time since I played Street Fighter 4, and I just don't remember. It starts to blur together after a while, but thank you for pointing that out. Orange Wright points out, though, that R. Mika isn't in Street Fighter 4. So Street Fighter 4 didn't have everybody. Rama pointing out that the license expired on Rival Schools, so that could be why. But it's not that licenses can't ever be renewed for these types of things either. I mean, you know, we have a new Marvel versus Capcom game coming out, although it may not have X-Men in it. We'll find out, but, you know, whatever. I mean, these things can be figured out. The Disney collection is going to be a bunch of licenses, right? And they got that out, so, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Well, so, and also, like, if you look at, like, even, like, the character roster that they have for the new LEGO Marvel game, it's quite interesting because it's not really focused on the Avengers this time. It's Guardians of the Galaxy, and so they've got some other stuff in there. They have Spider-Man 2099, Spider-Gwen or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, imagine those type of characters in, like, a Street Fighter versus Capcom, or, no, Marvel versus Capcom game. I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
Two tangents from that. This is the tangent edition.
Sorry, it's the alcohol.
No, I love it. No, it's my fault. Okay, so Guardian of the Galaxy. Darsagra, did you hear the ride open to Disneyland? It had 5-hour wait times. Yeah, I know. I'm iffy on it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I can't change it. It's done. What's done is done. So, you know, maybe it'll be a decent ride, you know, that lives
See,
up
now,
to the Twilight.
Now, would you feel so terrible about it if they replaced it with a Tron ride?
Oh, God, no. No, I would have been like, Twilight Zone, thank you. You know, you're a monumental franchise. What you did was important, and I hope they leave a piece of you in Disneyland. But make way, bulldozers. Let's go. Tron time. Ironically, Electronica used to surround the Tower of Terror, so it was kind of like you had this odd...
No.
Kind
of. It was over by Monsters, Inc.
But that's like right next to each other.
No, Tower of Terror was further down the row.
But remember, Electronica kind of spilled out that way because they had all the venues.
But it
didn't
go
as
far as
over
there. It was only right in front of where the Aladdin Theater was and the Monsters, Inc. ride over in that corner where the arcade was on the back wall.
But the Aladdin Theater is next door to Twilight Tower of Terror.
No, it's not. Well, the whole... It's a big building, but the entrance to it is quite a walk away from it.
Okay.
Visual memories kicking in.
Yeah. No, I thought it kind of spilled over that way a little bit. I mean, it wasn't like it took over the Tower of Terror, but anyway. So that was one thing. The other thing I wanted to say, because you brought up Marvel, one of the things I am looking forward to at E3 is what's this whole Square Enix Marvel game?
Yes.
Because I imagine we're going to see more of that.
I'm down with whatever
and,
that is.
You know, seeing that this is probably going to be, I guess, have similarities to Tomb Raider just based on where it's coming from Square Enix.
Or let's imagine a fighting system with a Marvel characters like Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
I'd be on board with that.
Bobby Blackwolf says the Square Enix Marvel game is Kingdom Hearts 3. That's why we haven't heard anything about it. We haven't.
You know, I'm the problem with Kingdom Hearts 3, like for me, like is I never really played through the original Kingdom Hearts, and now I don't even know where to begin. I know they have all the collections, but my God, it's like so much content in there, and the story is just so convoluted that I don't know if I'd be able to enjoy the game to the fullest extent if I don't understand what the hell, and I don't know who any of these characters are. Sora, okay, I know Sora's in there somewhere. I mean, I don't know what the fuck has happened throughout all this.
Well, did you hear this week that they have delayed Kingdom Hearts 3 and the Final Fantasy VII Remake again anyway?
Shock and awe.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't say they delayed because they never really got a date announced, but they're just basically saying, y'all need to temper your expectations going into E3 because these games aren't being, like, they're not coming out this year, so sit down.
It's eventual.
Yeah, they'll be out when they're damn good and ready, which I respect that. You know, we have to respect that there's games that have needed to be delayed that didn't, so we need to stop treating game delays as, like, bad news, but at the same time, we need to stop hyping the fuck out of these early release dates when game companies never hit them. But anyway, I digress. I'd be curious what Square Enix is going to be focusing on at E3 if these two games are not coming, and maybe this Marvel thing, although I thought this was really early on still, and I wasn't pegging this as something that would be this year, but I suppose you never know. But I figure Dragon Quest XI could be the game that's, you know, maybe they're going to really push for Dragon Quest XI. This year to be something that's big in the U.S. too. I mean, Dragon Quest has always had a fandom in the U.S. It just hasn't been on the same level as Final Fantasy. But, you know, Square Enix has had enough faith to put out Dragon Quest Heroes and, you know, some of these side things to try to. But the Builders game was a surprising amount of fun. You know, they've been trying to build up the Dragon Quest stuff a little bit to maybe get people hyped a little more about 11. Who knows? So, all right. Anyway. Let's get into the kickoff topic I had scheduled after we have 20 minutes
of
tangents. No, it's fine. It's going to be one of those shows tonight. It's fine. I want to talk about this article that's going around about Nintendo's Summer of Play Tour. Nintendo is going to be taking a Play Nintendo event around to showcase games to the public. And I'm assuming this is probably a little miniature version of their E3 booth that they're going to take around the country. And this is what they're doing instead of a Best Buy type thing this year. Including, let me see if I get some dates here. So Irvine from June 9th to 11th at the Irvine Spectrum. Well, that's like right concurrent with E3, isn't it? 9th through 11th? Yeah, that's right. That's right, the same weekend, because Bethesda's thing is the 10th. So that's where it's going to start, is the same area, Irvine, right? Then it moves to Pleasanton and moves on into Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Arizona, more Southern California. No Northern California, but it's going to be traveling around the country from June to September.
Pleasanton's sort of Northern California.
Yeah, but not here. No, I guess Alameda County Fair is close enough, I guess, but still, it seems like such
a
drive.
It's a drive, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be in Chicago and Brooklyn and Pennsylvania, but all these places. So it's traveling around the country, and I'm sure there will be people that will travel, you know, hours and hours to check this thing out. I mean, you know, if we do want to go to Pleasanton, we could drive for a few hours and go check this out. I don't know if I will. It depends what games are showing. Depends what they're showing. But I don't know if I will, because I'm just the type that's like, I'll just be patient and wait for the games to actually release during the holiday or whatever. But I'm curious, since the Memorial Day weekend is a time for traveling, and it is a time we go out and everywhere and so forth, what's like the furthest that you've traveled to play video games or play a video game? And I put this out to the chat room as well. What types of traveling have you done to play video games?
Well, I'd say the furthest that I've traveled to play video games would have been going to Sunnyvale to play, like, the Bomani games. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, we used to do a lot of that back in the day, right?
I went to San Diego to play, what was the first DDR that brought in the freeze arrows?
Max,
yeah. I had already planned on going to San Diego, and I added that to my trip, where, of course, I've played DDR in Pensacola.
Yeah, you know, back in those music game days, trips to L.A. to go to Arcade Infinity to play Beatmania 2DX and the things they had were not uncommon at all. So, man, we used to do those types of trips all the time. And then the Bay Area, I'm still doing that now with these round one trips. I was just at round one on Saturday because I happened to be in San Jose, so we stopped by there. So, I mean, those trips are not completely unheard of anymore. Looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com, let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, I traveled to Tokyo to play the arcade games. I mean, I was also visiting my friend. But Bobby says, if you want to restrict it to just to play video games and not take part in a bigger thing, I traveled to Dance Beat Arcade in Nashville a couple times just to visit the arcade, and that's a four-hour drive. Yeah, I was looking at when I go to the East Coast, like, is it possible that I could get out to Fun Spot? But I just don't think I could swing it. It's just too far out of the way. But it's one of those things I considered because, you know, it is a little piece of gaming history out there and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, I've traveled. I mean, I could say, well, I went to Washington, D.C. to go to MAGFest and play games. But that's kind of a – I didn't really go
there. Well, we went to E3.
I didn't really just go there to play games.
We went to E3 to play video games.
Yeah,
so.
the convention's thing's a little outside what I was looking for here maybe. But did you ever go to, like, a preview event that you had to drive a ways to get to, like these Nintendo things? Didn't you go to the State Fair to play Rock Band one year?
No, I didn't go to the State Fair. I went to this. It was an event that they had at, I don't even know what it was exactly. It was some event that they had out front of the, Sacramento, the Rivercats Stadium. So they had, like, I don't even know what it was, like some music festival thing. And they had Rock Band set up there, and I played it there. But I don't think I necessarily went there just for that. I went with, I don't even remember why I went there. But, yeah, it was one of the things I checked out while I was there.
Bobby Blackwolf says, I drove to Orlando to see video games live. That was an eight-hour drive.
Didn't we go to San Jose for?
I don't think I went to San Jose with you guys. I went to San Francisco once for one of those. But yeah. I remember going to L.A. to go to Dear Friends and More Friends. However, those were during E3. But I would have still gone just for those shows.
We went to Great America just to play Planet Harrier.
We used to go to San Francisco, was it for the Konami press events, which are kind of
fun. Yeah, yeah. Those things. We went to Great America
E3.
Went to Great America to do the...
I didn't go.
I know you didn't go, but you reminded me of that. The Mass Effect ride.
I should go.
It's okay.
So?
You can see the review over at VOG Network's YouTube.
I should still go and see if they have the Planet Harrier still.
I don't remember. I don't remember seeing one. I remember doing a weird... I don't know if I think it's like a bonus clip at the end of the YouTube that we did, but I remember shooting a lot of, like, when I sent all these videos to Bobby that we shot at Great America, I was like, Bobby, I took a lot of B-roll. I was like, you're going to have to sit through some bullshit that I took for this video. And I remember some of it was like this arcade, like, and I don't think I remember seeing a Planet Harrier there, but I think I was pointing out one of the stupid prizes they had available in the arcade. Like, there was some really tacky shit that they were giving away in the arcade. So
we did drive, like, in San Jose across, you know, several freeways to go to round one.
Oh, yeah. Well, round one's kind of out there in San Jose.
Yeah, driving anywhere in the Bay Area is kind of like...
Depends on when you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, you want to hear this one? Video game related things, you ready? So I drove to Oakland to see video games live. Not the 8-hour trip that Bobby took, but it was like a 90-minute drive for me. So I went to video games live with... Grandpa from Horde House. This is when, like, Grandpa and I were first friends, and another mutual friend of ours. So here's how everything works. So at Video Games Live in Oakland, I saw and I ran into, while I was with Grandpa from Horde House, I ran into Captain Spike from GameBuoy.org, who was talking to another friend of his, and he said, Rob, I think you guys have been friends on LiveJournal for a long time. Have you ever met Alan? And that was the first time I ever met Alan in person, was at Video Games Live. I don't know if everybody here knows that. I can't imagine I wouldn't have told that before, but I met...
Apart from camp?
I met Alan, well... Now you had to throw that out there. Fine. It's one of those nights. It's a three-day weekend. So Alan and I were in the same youth organization when we were 15 years old. He was in a Bay Area part of it, and I was in Sacramento part of it. And we both went to leadership camp. We know we were there the same year because we have similar memories, but we don't remember meeting each other. But only like 40 kids went to this camp. So Alan and I probably met each other when we were teenagers, like 15, 16, but we don't remember it. Like, you know, but we're convinced there's a picture out there of all the kids at this event that is probably in my parents' house somewhere that we have yet to find. So, but that's just funny. So, yes, Dark Soccer, you're right. We would have met at camp, technically, but then we didn't really meet in person until that Video Games Live event.
One time at leadership camp?
Exactly, right? There it goes. All right, yeah. MXC says, I like this story. I like that story, too. Thank you very much. All right. So, a little bit about traveling for video games. Good times. Hope you guys are being safe if you're traveling this weekend. Or playing some games. If you're playing games at home, this is a great time to do it as well. Let's talk about what types of video games you've been playing this week. I have not really drank anything yet. I've had the tiniest sip of this vodka that you made. You didn't make the vodka, but you infused it.
Right. And when I do an infusion, I do potato vodka. Because, okay, honestly, I like the flavor of potato vodka better.
Mm-hmm. I like potatoes.
And
Do you French fry your vodka?
No. Well, but real vodka is made with potatoes.
Yeah, I know.
So I did one that I infused with crystallized ginger. So candy ginger. I did another one that is made with Parma violets, which our UK buddies should know. They're like the little sweeties, smarties things that we have over here.
Oh, okay.
Except they're violet flavored.
We need to do a maple bacon infused vodka.
I will do that.
I'm just curious to see how that would either be really good or really horrible.
I have both real maple syrup and bacon at my house.
I can't imagine they don't actually. I mean, I know it's not going to be as good as something that you make, but like, I can't imagine that with all the bacon mania in this country, there isn't like an over the counter.
See, the problem flavor, like, today, the I was trying to get vanilla vodka, but they only had, like, they had vanilla vodka. It was like $30 for a bottle.
Where did you go?
Really with the Raley's, like, crappy
BevMo.
I know. Yeah. I didn't have time to go to BevMo. I would have gone to BevMo because BevMo, the last time I went there, I think the bottle of vodka was like $12.
Yeah.
You know, like, for vanilla vodka. And it was like, Raley's, they're like, oh, yeah, it's $30 for just vodka. Like,
wait. Sorry, we're giving them free commercial space here. So BevMo's smell really bad. I'm just kidding. I made that up, but they shouldn't get free advertising.
But the other one I brought back just for you.
Yeah.
Candy corn.
I love the candy corn one. But the ginger one's really good. It's strong.
It is.
But like, I can drink that ginger beer.
The first taste of it, it burns.
Yeah.
And then it turns into this sweet. So it starts off with that ginger bite, mm-hmm, and then fades into something really sweet.
But now that you said like root beer, I'm like, oh man, that would have been amazing.
Someone bring us root beer.
But I'm gonna try. What soda should I mix that with? Did I do Sprite, or do you think I should?
I did bring
Dr. Pepper
beverage, and I brought Dr. Pepper and Sprite and Diet Mountain Dew.
All right, I'm gonna try mixing the ginger with something, and that's
I bet it would
go
well with Sprite because then it would come out kind of ginger ale-y.
All right. Anyway, before we were talking about liquor. And again, I'm just going to warn you all, if this is your first Orange Lounge Radio.
This ain't our first drunk show.
If this is your first episode of Orange Lounge Radio, thank you so much for checking us out. Really do appreciate it. You know, we've been doing this for 15 years. Dark Soccer, Loki, and I have been kicking it ever since we all first met playing DDR. But this is just going to be a crazy show tonight.
I haven't drank that much.
Not just because of the liquor, but just because of the fact it's like a 3-day weekend. There hasn't been a ton of news because E3 is coming up. So I'm just saying, don't judge the entirety of OLR based on this random fucking tangent episode. Then again, some of our longtime listeners, they love this shit the most. So we do it for you.
See, if I had like nowhere to drive to, then I would have had a lot more than what I had. But unfortunately, you got to.
Nothing's going to talk. No, we're never going to get. And yes, always drink responsibly. That's very important. We take great caution to make sure we're not going to drive drunk or any of that stuff. But nothing is ever going to top that episode when you and I lived together. And I don't even remember what happened. Jamie ate all my waffles and then passed out in my bed.
Those were Matt's waffles.
This was during.
I paid you back for your waffles 3 years later.
I don't remember.
And this was not something that happened like before the show. This happened during the show. And I was like kicking the wall, yelling, I'm in the Matrix. I don't remember what Loki was doing, but I think you were like deep frying bacon or something.
Oh,
like,
super bacon, probably.
Should you be operating a deep fryer when you're intoxicated?
No, it wasn't deep frying bacon. It's microwave.
That you had the deep fryer and you made cornflake coated rice balls.
I used to do that, and then
that
my
was
wife,
good.
And my wife still doesn't let me buy it. You know, a deep fryer. I'm like, I keep saying no. Should I get a deep fryer?
I need one to make
falafel. Deep fryer.
Right.
But yeah, she wouldn't let me do that. And yes, because you know, bacon is so healthy by itself. I figured that it just needed more salt and pepper and whatever else I'd sprinkle on it. So yeah, it's extra salty, extra peppery bacon,
extra heart attacky.
It's like, oh, this is poison as it is. Now it's really going to kill you.
ActDeft points out in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. There's always that disclosure for the drunk shows. Well, it's important, you know. You know, it's okay to get stupid. Just don't be stupid about it.
I am sticking to my carefully crafted beverage of Diet Pepsi and Kraken. I used up the last of my Kraken, and I kind of wish I bought some more.
I honestly don't feel it anymore, really, to be honest.
I love Kraken. It makes every soda taste like oatmeal cookies.
All right.
Ew. Seriously, it's amazing.
Why would you want to make things taste like oatmeal cookies?
Oatmeal cookies are great. It's raisins that ruin oatmeal cookies.
That's true. Raisins ruin everything.
All right. Hello.
Okay, wait,
Gaming week?
Yes, I know we're getting the gaming week, but wait, one quick tangent, though. Finish. The grocery store near us, as like a cruel joke, they put their stupid chocolate chip bagels next to their oatmeal raisin bagels. I'm like,
How evil is that?
Why would you do that? I mean, they look exactly the same. You put it next
raisins to each other. Raisins are the enemy of Orange Lounge Radio.
Wait a minute. Raisins are okay.
No, they're not. They suck. They're the evil. They're the evil Soviet spies of the condiment world.
They're not evil. It's just I don't like being if I'm going into it expecting chocolate chips and I bite into a raisin, I'm going to be disappointed. That's just really what it is.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's fucked up. That if like you think like, oh, yummy, this chocolate chip cookie, I'm so excited, and you bite into it, and it's fucking raisin.
I actually just
like,
hate raisins.
Who fucking did that? Who did that? Like, I'm okay with that. I don't hate raisins. Like, raisins are great salad.
I have two things that I super hate.
You know what's better than raisins? Craisins.
Okay, I can eat those because dried cranberries are good, but raisins are just like failed grapes. But I hate raisins and I hate marshmallows.
Well, Dark Tetsuya answered your question in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Who would put those bagels next to each other? He says, some people just want to watch the world burn.
I know.
In this case, wouldn't it be some people just want to watch the bagels toast?
I guess.
I actually don't even like raisinettes. Not even chocolate can remove the hatred that, you know. And the only way I like marshmallows is when they're on fire. True. I hate s'mores, actually. But I like Rice Krispie treats.
Wow. I heart Rob Roberts in chat. What a pleasant name. Says, I don't hate raisins, but I also wouldn't go out of my way to defend them.
Thank you.
All right. Look.
Okay. My gaming week.
Yes. I was like, this discussion is important. Chocolate chip bagels and raisin bagels. This shit needs to stop.
However, make your drink, Rob.
Bye.
So, we've been watching a lot of YouTube at my house. Namely, I have had this weird kick, for some reason, to watch Injustice 2 videos. Me, the person who does not like DC, has been kind of obsessed now with watching the character interactions in Injustice 2. So, as a result, Dan said, you know what? Let's just get the first game. So, he bought it. So, our game just arrived, and we're going to be playing it soon. And I like the voice acting, and it's actually kind of fun. Because I'd played it for a little bit before, but I was like, DC, whatever the fuck.
He didn't have it in his game library? Because that was one of the free games that they had in PlayStation Plus.
I don't think he even bothered. So, and on top of that, it was cheap anyway for, like, the ultimate whatever version. We paid, like, $15 for it, so it wasn't terrible. And if we like it, we're going to get Injustice 2. And it's all because of Green Arrow, really. Green Arrow, because everyone else, I don't care, but it's voiced by my man, so I'm happy. Although I have been going through, like, watching that and then looking up voice actors going, I know that voice. And so, anyway. Also, I've been playing World of Warcraft, and I hit my first prestige rep thing. And apparently once you hit it, then you can refill it, and you get, like, goodies for maxing out your exalted rep again, and it's kind of cool. And yes, I know Kevin Conroy is Batman. I have also been playing Miitomo and playing Pokemon Go. I am behind on leveling, but whatever. Dan managed to get the Judge Dredd working, and we have the Dead World mod in it. So for people who don't know this about the Judge Dredd pinball, is that there is a spinning thing in it that has these cutouts, and it takes the, what?
I'm going to interrupt. Sorry. You have to try this. It's really good. No, guys, y'all, this is so important. This is so important. This ginger vodka she made mixed with the 7-Up, this is amazing.
Hot damn.
Yeah, right? That turned out really good. Do you like ginger, Loki?
No, I don't think that's a good idea, being that I'm sick.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't drink from the glass.
But,
never mind.
But alcohol it kills things.
This is true. We can't argue that logic.
I can get you a straw. All right, anyways. Sorry to interrupt the video game chat, but you know what? I fucking warned you.
So anyway, the Dead World on the Judge Dredd has these, like, little places that the ball will jump into. and then it, the ball will fall out of it as it moves. Well, the original intent of it was that these little areas were closed off and that it locks the ball in these different holes. And there's a crane that has full functionality, but because they removed the way the Dead World functioned, that crane is there and doesn't do anything. So there's like a mod that came out to restore the Judge Dredd table to... Shut up, Brad. he said balls, holes. But anyway, it it restored that original gameplay to the Judge Dredd. And it's really a lot of fun. And it makes multi-ball a fucking bitch. It, you got all the balls going and they drop them. And it's just so cool. It is really neat. You, the crane will... You just look up Dead World mod on Judge Dredd and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's totally awesome. And then I don't remember, so I guess I'm done.
All right, then we'll go over to Loki. How was your gaming week?
I played a few things this week. So I finally picked up Overwatch because now they have that Game of the Year edition. So I picked that up. I didn't get to play a long time because I was home with my son. He was sick with a cold, which now I have caught. So I was able to play a few rounds against AI, and so I did that, and that was all right. Maybe I got the level up to 3, which is nothing. But I like it so far. And then I played more Grand Theft Auto 5 on PC, and just going through the single-player game. I'm having a lot of fun with that. It looks fantastic. I played a little bit of... What did I play? There was something I played on the PlayStation, because I had... What was it? Oh, no, I didn't play them. I had bought, they have a bacon frying theme for your PlayStation 4. So I have that now in my back.
How do people, we need to talk about this for a minute. This is important. There is so much, like, garbage themes and stuff on PlayStation 4, like, all these throwaway themes. Like, how do I get in on that? Like, I feel like Vogue could make a lot of money if we just, like, you know, joined forces with a photographer and a graphic artist and like made some of these,
I don't know how you do
cheap
that.
Themes on PlayStation 4, because there's a million of them. I mean,
yeah,
go look on the store place. There's a million of them.
I don't know how that works at all.
Like, obviously the photos would need to be original, which I said we need to team up with a photographer who could take some original photos that we would have the rights to. But, you know, it's like, my God, there's so much stuff out there.
Yeah,
we could just get some cats. Take some. I'm sure there's already cat themes out there. But what's wrong with more cat themes? We'll take some pictures of cats and just, you know, have a little meow theme, and then we do pictures of puppies and just all the animals.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how you get in with that if it's the same kind of pathway that they have for like game developers, because I know some of those themes are a little bit more interactive as far as like how you set them up, but I can't imagine that it's all just necessarily, you know, game programming stuff. It's probably, I don't know, HTML stuff or whatever. So yeah, I got that. It's silly. And then what else? I didn't necessarily play this yet, but I picked up, because I backed it a while ago, We Happy Few, but I never got my key for it. I'm like, well, shit, you know, I can play it now. I probably should get my key for it. So I emailed them, like, hey, I don't believe you sent me a key for this. And I think they did, but I may have deleted it, and so they sent me a new one. I got that. But yeah, I've been just kind of playing around with my computer here, and being able to run stuff now is nice. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, cell phone games, you know, doing the daily Pokemon stuff, and my idle, you know, clicker office space game, which is actually, you know, for an idle clicker game, they do give you a lot more reasons to play, especially with all these different events that they do each week. So it's kind of a challenge, I guess, to try to earn as many, because you play it as a completely separate game than the one you're at, your main game. And then the levels that you get to also unlock things for the main game, which is kind of cool. So it gives you a little bit of a challenge to play it, and I'm sure for them it means more ad revenue because you watch more ads. But I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's a good time sink, and it doesn't seem to be so blatant with, like, I don't know, it doesn't feel like some of the other ones I play, like Katamari or EDF or anything like that. So I don't know, I enjoy it. That's it.
I want to grill you a little more on Overwatch. What, I know you didn't get to play a lot of it, but what did you think?
I liked it. I thought it was interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was so brief. I mean, I only played a few games. I've been playing just Soldier 76, and
which is probably the easiest one to start with if you're used to, you know, other shooty games. They kind of made him to be the Call of Duty guy.
Yeah, so that's what I've been just playing for now. I mean, obviously, you know, against the AI, it's kind of stupid. It's like, okay, I've just played through four games. I've gotten no deaths. I mean, obviously, this is on super easy mode right now. But, I mean, I don't know. I had fun. It was kind of ironic because, like, I didn't know, like, I don't know if all, like, the AI acts like people in the game. Because I finally figured out, because, like, when it said versus AI, I thought, okay, it's just me with an AI team playing against another team of AI. But apparently, you're playing against other people yep. against AI.
Yep.
I had no idea.
Yep.
And so, there's, like, at the end of the match, there's a whole bunch of, like, GGGG, you know, and stuff like that. And I'm like, is that the AI doing that? Or is that, like, the people doing that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who's real.
Actually, the AI does it. In those AI matches, the AI will randomly type GG, you know, or if they lose, they'll put, you know, oh, shucks, you know, things like that. They actually do put little chat messages in.
Okay,
really
like, I thought that was kind of weird. I'm like, I didn't realize that it was that sophisticated. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, like, it's been super easy right now. I mean, obviously, because I'm, like, level 3. But, I don't know. Like, and as far as, like, the unlocks go, I got the Tracer skin for the, you know, Game of the Year thing, so.
Oh, you got a Legendary in your first loot box?
Yeah.
Good for you. Wow, good for you.
So, that was kind of nice. I mean, all the other ones have sucked, but.
ActF is suggesting Loki can also try D.Va, then move on to other characters. Yeah, as far as, you know, especially with the tanks go, D.Va's just got a machine gun, basically, so she, and it's unlimited ammo, so it's just pretty easy to. But when you get knocked, the whole getting knocked out of the mech and go, that can be a little weird, but that gets you used to some of the other, like, weird shit that happens on other characters.
So yeah, I'd be curious to figure out how to play the other characters. I just don't want to grow, you know, jump into a match and, like, oh, you suck. I mean, granted, I'm level 3 or something, so they're going to probably assume I suck anyways, but, like, I don't want to just, like, go in there and just be, like, a complete detriment to
most
whatever
of
team
that, most of that is kept to ranked at this point anyway. If you're playing quick match, you're going to get people of all skill levels. It's just a fact. But you can, and I use this a lot, the practice range is great for getting used to characters. Like, especially when I was trying to learn how to play Sombra, because you really have to get used to the whole, like, how she disappears and, you know, throws her thing that she can teleport back to, and kind of the timing between those, so you can really effectively, like, you know, throw out your teleport, invis, get behind the enemy while you're invisible, hack the enemy, and then teleport back before they notice you and start shooting you. That takes practice to get all that timing down, you know?
Okay.
So, I mean, the practice range is great for that type of stuff and really be able to time the moves and stuff. So, all right. Anything else for your gaming week?
That's it.
All right. My gaming week, not as exciting as other weeks. I didn't play a lot of new stuff. You know, I've been live streaming, been playing some Overwatch and live stream and Final Fantasy 14 quite a bit as well, and other stuff, but not a lot of new stuff this week. I feel like I've watched enough Friday the 13th on live streams to have said I played it, but I haven't played it. But I've watched an awful lot of it. Obviously, my buddy Flacco Jones has been streaming a lot of it, but I watched other random people in some of the communities streaming it too, and it looks like it's fun. The only concern I have with dropping $40 on a game like Friday the 13th is the fact that, you know, there's only just a couple maps right now, and it seems like that whole, the game format, like, it's really fun now for a weekend, but how long is that really going to last? I'm not sure. So that's why I'm.
But the real question is, are they going to have, like, the Jason in space map at some point?
They might. I don't know what else they're going to put out there. But well, I did see. Okay, so Flacco was streaming last night, and he was letting his wife.
So is he play, like, as, you know, Jason, or is he? You know,
it's random.
Random.
Yeah, you can elect if you're willing to be Jason or whatever. I think you can turn that on or off or something. But it's random. Who's Jason? In fact, this was about to say is that in the first match that Flacco played last night, when I was watching, he let his wife play. So he was like, you know, he wanted to let the wife get used to it, and she screams a lot when, you know, scary things happen. So it's a lot of fun. So the first match, she gets Jason. And Flacco had never played Jason at all, ever. So they were kind of both learning how Jason works. Because Jason obviously has all these abilities that the counselors don't have to keep it balanced. Because there can be up to like 7 camp counselors. and one Jason. So Jason can freaking teleport. He can do this thing called morph, and he can teleport pretty much anywhere on the map. And then he can do this thing called, like, I don't know if it was stalk or what it was, but you can basically, like, do this, like, drifting through the woods at a really fast pace. But it's that whole thing, like, how in the movies Jason would just suddenly appear behind somebody. Like, you can do that in the game. But obviously, you know, you still have to kind of have a general idea where the counselors are to be able to do that.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, can't you see them, like, through the walls or something like that? And they have, like,
where there's certain modes. Like, I think if you do stalk, they glow red. Or you can see when there's sound, when the counselors are making sound, you see little dots that appear on the map. But they give the counselors, like, radios in some of the cabins to screw with Jason with that.
Oh, nice.
So there is a little bit of, you know, Jason isn't super powerful, but, like, it's almost impossible to get through a Friday the 13th game and not have Jason at least kill a couple people. It's just, it's a damn near impossible for all of the counselors to escape unscathed. So, yeah, it's
as it should be. I
mean. Right. Let's see.
I mean, if he's not killing somebody, his reputation is definitely going to be ruined from that.
Dungeon Buster said it was funny watching one stream where the guy tried to rescue his friend getting choked by Jason and took a shot, killing his friend instead. That's from Dungeon Buster at live.vognetwork.com. Awesome. Yeah, that can happen. You can actually kill the other counselors, too, in the game. So, because I remember Flacco was about to escape on the boat, and he was afraid that the other counselor that was with him was going to try to kill him. But then, like, Flacco got in the boat, and the other counselor, like, wasn't getting in the boat. So Flacco gave it, like, 20 seconds, then was like, I'm out of here, and zoomed out and got on the boat and left the other counselor basically to be stranded. And sure enough, once he got out of there, you go into spectate mode once you're either dead or you get out of the camp so you can see the rest of the game play out. And he ended up spectating the counselor that was trying to get in the boat with him, and Jason was already killing her. So Flacco got out of there, and then Jason killed the one that he left behind.
That's way idle. So that,
and I was laughing. I think I actually tipped Flacco like 100 bits just because that moment was so fucking funny. So yeah, you can see that over in his channel. Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says Flacco is a cold-blooded murderer. Yes, he was that night. He definitely was.
Hey, it's all about survival. I mean, you got to look out for number one, because if you don't, then that's when stupid things happen and you die.
So anyway, I didn't even play that myself. I'm just telling you
that
what...
That sounds like fun.
I think especially like with friends and stuff, it would be fun, but I just worry about the longevity of it.
Does he have that on PlayStation 4? Or?
He has it on PlayStation 4, but almost every other streamer I've seen is on PC.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Let's see, other games. Okay, so I will talk about one phone game, because obviously I still play, you know, the Niantic games. But I want to talk about another new game that just came out this week.
Oh, yes, I need to get this, actually.
So, Dark Sakura, as the fortune cookie message last week or the week before, played that Magikarp song that was about how Magikarp's like the worst Pokemon ever. Well, that was all to lead into a game that Pokemon Company released called Magikarp, basically. Or I think, at least that's what the icon's called. What is the actual name of this game? I think it's like Magikarp, Let's Raise Magikarp or something like that. I don't know the actual name of the game. It's Pokemon Magikarp Jump. That's the name of it. So in this game, and I use that term very loosely, you feed Magikarp food, you train Magikarp, and you battle, but all it is you jump, and that you jump high based on how well your Pokemon has been raised, basically. But here's the little twist with this game. There's no fucking game. There's no skill. The training, you just click train. Okay, you trained. The feeding, you just tap the food on the screen. I suppose that's the get. You tap the food on the screen to feed your Magikarp. That's it. There's no other. So, I mean, I guess you could say loosely, like very loosely, there's some strategy about, well, do I spend coins to upgrade the food in my tank, or do I spend coins to upgrade the types of training available? What do I do? What do I do? Or what should I spend those diamonds on that I could drop real money on if I wanted to, but I'll just try to save enough from all the little piddly things you do in the game? Should I get a Charizard for my little thing that will restore points of training once in a while? You know, all the dumb things they do. So, like, that's the only thing about the Magikarp Jump game is that, like, there's no fucking game. There really isn't. Like, I feel like I'm playing a BBS door game on an iPhone, and yet those BBS door games still had more skill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yet, all that being said, I still can't stop playing it. And I check in on my stupid little Magikarp, and I'm now on my eighth generation of Magikarp, and I keep feeding, and I train, and I jump, and there's leaderboards so I can see how I'm doing versus my friends. And Zeba, if you're out there, I'm coming for you. she's like number one or two on my leaderboard right now. And, you know, it's just, you know, you can kind of compete with your friends in that regard, but it's like you really don't have any control over the jumping. It's just press the button, and depending on how well you've or how much you've raised your Magikarp, that's how high they're going to jump. So it's like you would think at least there's like a meter that like press button when the arrow is here. No, there's none of that. None of that stuff. So MXC says, so it's a clicker? Like, yes, but like there's no clicking. it's worse somehow.
It's like a nothing.
Yeah, it's just it is for Magikarp being a game, it's kind of perfect actually. And that's going to be the fucking quote they put on the App Store. All right. But y'all know what I mean by that. But yet I can't stop playing. Yeah, like Zeba says, it's so addicting. I don't know what it is. Maybe it is just the fact that you can't help but love that little derpy Magikarp. And they do have the Magikarp in the different patterns. So you're like, ooh, maybe I'll get a polka dot pattern this time or something. You know, a little crazy.
Does it actually come with like actual carp patterns, like real koi?
I imagine some of it is modeled after real stuff. It has to be. There's
I think the Magikarp and the Goldeen are both patterned on koi.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Huh. Interesting. Rama in chat says it's a Tamagotchi that never dies. That is actually an interesting way of putting it. But ActF says, unless it gets snagged by a Pidgeotto. Oh, yes. I learned that the hard way. Be careful, you guys, because some of those little side things that happen. So after you train, it might be like, ooh, an event happened to Magikarp. And usually it'll be, the mayor came out to greet Magikarp and gave you back a training point. Or, you know, Magikarp made a fan and the fan gave you money. You know, those types of things. But there was one where it was like, should Magikarp jump up to try to get this berry? And you see like a really rare berry and you're like, fuck yeah, get the berry. And you hit the button. So Magikarp jumped and a Pidgeotto snatched Magikarp and carried him away. And that was it. My Magikarp was gone. And I had to go back to the lake and fish up a new one. And the mayor just consoled me like, oh, yeah, that happens. So don't be so greedy, asshole, basically. So, yeah, that's what VidPower in chat says. Pidgeotto's eat Magikarp? Apparently, or they carry him away to a far-off land. That's what happened. So be careful. Be careful. There's another one that involves something shiny in the water. And I've gotten a diamond most times when I do that. And there was one time I got a piece of glass, but it said, oh, Magikarp was just really disappointed that it was glass and it lost some of the training points. But I'm just waiting for the whole, oh, it's shiny. Oh, it's a hook. Your Magikarp just got caught and got filleted for dinner.
Your Magikarp's an idiot and he swallowed glass. Now he's dead because his intestines have been ruptured by the glass.
Right? All right. Anyway, so yeah, I've been playing the Magikarp game on phone. Play at your own risk. It's stupid, but yet sometimes we like stupid things.
Can you get, it's not a Nintendo game, I was going to say, can you get like my Nintendo points with it or something?
No, none of that stuff's in it.
Does it tie in at all with Pokemon Go?
No, it's a Pokemon Company game, and so it's more like Pokemon Shuffle or something like that. It does not tie into Pokemon Go, which is a Niantic game, and it doesn't tie into the Nintendo stuff because Nintendo didn't make this.
Anything they could do to earn more Magikarp candy because that's just ridiculous.
I hear you. Well, you should have done this event where you could get like a Magikarp candy for going a quarter mile or a quarter kilometer. Excuse me.
I did that with my stupid. I have a, what is it? It's a Charizard? Not a Charizard. Charmeleon. So I've been doing it with the Charmeleon to try to evolve it because there's no Charmanders around here to catch. So,
Speaking of Pokemon Go, Alan came into the office today and said, well, guess what went through the wash? And there's my Pokemon clicker that I lost and I couldn't find. It had gone through the wash. But here's the punchline. Still works. Still works. In fact, I would even argue it's a little cleaner now. It looks very nice and actually probably works better. Not that I'm encouraging you guys to put that through the wash. Do it at your own risk. But I was very surprised. I was like, wow, this went through the wash and it still works. So cool. I mean, I imagine the technology sealed pretty tight in there. These things are for little kids.
No, I mean, the only I would think it would just harm us if it actually had like electricity running through it and stuff and bridging stuff. But there's not that much electricity running through that. And true. Also, since you dried it out, I mean, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if it like was melted more than anything.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says, never expected something like that to be made of Nintendium, but there you go.
Is Nintendium.
That like, is that a joke because like the old like Super Nintendos, like they don't fucking break?
No, I think it was like, was it the one that Game Boy that went through from the Gulf War or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have that on display in New York. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. No, the Nintendo hardware, man, those things can take a beating. Or what, the Nintendo 64 that fell down an entire flight of stairs that still works. Like, it's just... Yeah, I guess that's true. Nintendo systems are pretty rock solid.
That's because Nintendo systems are great murder weapons.
All right, moving on.
What's going to break first, your skull or the Nintendo 64?
Let's get into some gaming news. Oh, I got to do some quick housekeeping. We're 2 weeks away from E3, so Bethesda will be rudely interrupting our show in 2 weeks with their press conference, but we will be talking all about E3. For the first time, we get to do Microsoft the day of because they're going a little earlier this year. So talk all about that. That's in 2 weeks. And then in 3 weeks is the 15th anniversary of Orange Lounge Radio on June 18th. 15 years of this fucking show. And actually, I should point out, technically, Orange Lounge Radio, the station, launched on May 23rd, 2002. So we actually hit 15 years as an entity or whatever you want to call it this past week. But we launched the station on live. Because the way it was back 15 years ago when we first started, we had Orange Lounge Radio, the station, that just played like DDR music and stuff that we liked. And the highlight of the station was to be the Orange Lounge Radio Live, which was the show on Sunday nights that this whole thing started with, but we gave it like a month lead-in time. Originally, we were going to start it a week earlier than we did. The first episode was supposed to be the June, what's 7 days from the 23rd? I can't math right now because I've been 16th. Drinking. 16th, thank you. Originally, the first show was supposed to be June 16th. The earliest promo stuff we did said June 16th, 2002, but we had to push it back a week, and it was Dark Soccer's fault. I don't remember why. Probably a trip or something. She's making a frown.
I'll show you a trip when I trip you down the stairs.
But yeah, so we had launched the station in advance of the show, and then our first show was June 23rd. So we'll be celebrating all that in a few weeks with you guys here at our chat room live, .vognetwork.com. All right, let's get into some gaming news. Loki, start us off.
So Microsoft Beam is no more. So because of some trouble that they had with registering the using the Beam name overseas, they decided to change the name to Mixer. And Mixer, of course, is kind of relaunching with some new innovations. So what's kind of cool is you can actually do, I want to say, a cooperative live streaming. So it allows up to four streamers to combine their broadcasts into a single experience, they say, with like split screen views. So
that alone is awesome. But I actually went to go watch a feed where somebody was doing this. And so there was the four I don't remember what they were all playing. They were playing some shooty bang bang game. And there were the four streamers. But the problem was all four of their audios were going at the same time. And these were all four big Beam streamers. So like all of them at the same time were like, thank you for the follow. Thank you for the, and like they were all talking like over each other at the same time. So it was kind of like I couldn't watch it. I was like, this is a mess. Like, I should just watch one of these streams individually. I mean, that's cool that they're all tied together. So it's like you could do the multi. It's like when you watch Big Brother on CBS, if you've ever done that online, you can switch between the different camera feeds in the house. But if you try to watch them all at once, it's like there's too much going on.
Night Trap.
I would compare. Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Or Night Trap. Sure. We'll go with that. So it's a little bit like that. But, I mean, in theory, it's still a cool idea. And, you know, they're still working out the kinks. I mean, if everybody had agreed to just be silent, you know, maybe three of the streamers just agreed to be silent, and then the fourth streamer did all the talking in the audio, and you just watched on the other ones, I think it would have worked a lot better. So, but I love that this is a feature. When Beam announced that, I was like, oh, shit, that's something, like, I would love to do for VOG. Like, when we do one of these Mario Kart 8 tournaments, like, how easy would that be? Bobby does a stream. I do a stream. Flacco does a stream. Like, this would be, like, really, really cool. Now, I still, you know, I'm don't plan on leaving Twitch right now. I tried Beam, or I guess now it is Mixler. I have Mixer. I have an account over there. There's a lot about mixer that I like. But now that I have the whole Twitch affiliate thing going on, I've just kind of tried to invest building up my presence over there. I don't see myself jumping ship and leaving for Beam. But I love that there's competition now. And this is going to, I mean, yes, there was YouTube, but YouTube, I don't know, YouTube wasn't trying to compete with Twitch the same way that I think Microsoft is trying to do with now Mixer. And so I love that Mixer exists, and I love that they are putting stuff like this out there to try to differentiate themselves from Twitch to keep Twitch on their toes. But, you know, one thing to consider for Mixer or Microsoft to consider, I suppose, is that it's a lot easier right now to become an affiliate on Twitch and make money, even though you're not going to make much money, but, you know, have that door open to the potential to making money, like YouTube. A lot of people, it's pretty, or was easy to do on YouTube. Now it's a little harder, but still pretty reasonable, right? You have to have, what, 50,000 or 5,000 life views or something on your channel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like my channel, which is like, I don't upload anything to it, already has that.
Yeah, it's, yeah, right? It's, if you've been on there a while, you just kind of hit it naturally. But anyway, all that aside, so like, Beam still doesn't have that where you have that potential to make money. I mean, yes, you can become a partner over there, but the partner requirements are pretty high for a service that still hasn't attracted a ton of people. Now, that being said, Microsoft clearly is pushing this forward with their E3 plans. It's going to be exclusively through this, right? Which we knew this was coming. The minute they bought Beam, we knew if you want to see their E3 stuff, you're going to have to go to Beam. They're not going to put it on Twitch because they want people to go to this new site and
check it out.
It'll
be on YouTube or on their own webpage.
Yeah, well, it'll be on their own webpage, but it'll be powered through this Beam thing.
Yeah,
Mixer.
Whatever.
I'm still going to be calling it Beam. Sorry, guys. But it's still going to be powered through that whole thing.
Yeah. So the other thing that they're adding to that with that is they're going to be extending it also to mobile. So they're going to have iOS and Android apps that allow you to broadcast mobile games as well. Yeah. So it's interesting. I like the name Mixer better than Beam. So
it makes me think of audio, though, exclusively. I'm kind of surprised that name was available, to be honest. I was like, wow, there isn't already a site called Mixer somewhere like for audio. I would have thought like an audio thing for sure. Would have already had that name, but maybe Microsoft bought a company called that a long time ago, and now they're taking advantage of that name. Who knows? So,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool. You know, it's like I said, I think this type of competition is great. Beam doing the whole 4K thing, I think, is going to push Twitch to figure out how they can address some of those technical things a little faster. But it will be interesting to see as Mixer gets more of an audience and gets E3. Are they going to be able to keep this promise of the whole it is really live streaming? Because Twitch used to be that way, but then when they got so popular, their servers couldn't handle it. But I think Mixer does something with the encoder. Like, there is a new encoder that you use to have this, because I checked it out when I was playing around with Beam for a couple streams that I did. You have to get a different codec for this. So, you know, I'm sure this all kind of balances out, but it'll be interesting to see when they do get that increased demand, which they're going to get at E3. I hope Microsoft's ready for it. That's all. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I think it was the fact that they were stuck with .pro, and that was the issue because that doesn't work in every country. They probably bought the domain but couldn't get beam.com was probably the big issue there. So it was that .pro. And that, yeah, I admit that's kind of a... I mean, why didn't they get beam.tv? Because Twitch TV works everywhere, right?
Yeah, why was it pro?
Because remember, Microsoft didn't create it. Some other folks did. So that's just what they... Beam was to stream or whatever.
Get a new webpage because why?
Well, they did. Now they have Mixer.
New
it just makes me think of either booze or music.
Yeah. I like the name Beam. I did. I thought, you know, for what it was. But I get it. I mean, if the .pro thing doesn't work everywhere, and it is a harder extension name to kind of catch on, and you are going to get a lot of people to go. I think if you go to Twitch.com.
They should have just done beam/.xxx, and then everybody would pay attention.
I'm actually curious. I hope I don't get porn. Yeah. If you go to Twitch.com, it just redirects to Twitch TV. So even if people didn't know it was a .tv and you type Twitch.com, you're still going to go to the right place. And probably Beam couldn't really do that. And you'd be surprised how much it might have been holding them back. Anyway, cool. I'm curious to see what else they announce closer to E3. And, you know, I welcome a little more competition in the streaming space as far as all that goes. I think it's going to keep everybody on their toes, and that's great. We've been talking about this for a couple weeks on the show, and that is Castlevania coming to Netflix. Well, the first trailer came out, and I've got some good news, everybody. It's not a live-action thing. Yay! Which, yes, it's a good thing, because live-action probably would have been cheesy. So it is an anime, and it is actually not a movie. It's like a television series type of thing. So the trailer is out there, and it will debut on Netflix July 7th. So this is going to be a little sooner than we thought. So I guess they must have been able to keep this a secret for a while before we found out that the Castlevania thing was happening. And I'm sure the production of anime is going to be a little more accelerated than something that is live action. But still, that is pretty fast after we got the announcement in February. It's an anime. Looks like it might get to be a little bit violent. Looks like it is going to have that tone that goes with it. So I have to admit, I don't watch a ton of anime. That's nothing against anime. I watch little TV as there is. There's only so many shows I can make time to watch. But I do want to check out this Castlevania thing, that's for sure. It looked pretty cool. At least the first episode, to see if it's worth watching the rest. What'd you guys think of the trailer?
It looked cool.
Yeah? It looked cool?
I like Castlevania 3, so I mean, it'll be neat to see what it looks like.
Dark Soccer, I know this is a franchise that's near and dear to you. What are your thoughts on all this?
It looks cool.
Yeah? So you're on board?
Maybe. I'm going to reserve judgment for watching the first episode.
Fair enough. I think that's the right mindset to be in for a lot of people. Checking in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Dark Tetsuya says, I'm super hyped for the Castlevania anime. YYR says, I can't wait for the episode with Pachi slot machines. Dungeon Buster says, I can't wait for the episode when Belmont finds meat inside a wall and eats it.
Dan and I were talking
I hope that happens.
About two, and from the looks of it, it looks like it's actually going to be based off of Castlevania 3, because we thought we saw Sypha and
Grant.
Yeah, Grant.
I thought they had said it's going to be Castlevania 3. Yeah, I thought they had said at some point it's going to be Castlevania 3.
I think that they did, but it was more of a confirmation just to see the other characters there. So.
Sure. Well, and just because something is inspired by something doesn't mean you're always going to see it accurately represented, am I right? But if you want to all see meat in the wall, I'm gonna go a little. It sounded dirty, didn't it? I'm gonna go a little bit deeper than that, though.
Never mind.
I want to see the scene where Belmont kneels and a tornado picks him up and carries him away. That's what I'm waiting for. You think that'll be in the anime? I mean, I know it's the wrong Castlevania game, but there could still be a reference, right? Right.
Blink, blink.
You don't remember in Simon's Quest? You had to.
Yes, but Simon's Quest wasn't great.
What? I love Simon's Quest.
I don't like the curse thing.
Oh, my God.
It just felt like a completely different game.
First off,
the best of them is Dracula X.
Yes, but also one of the best soundtracks in the entire series.
Well, yeah,
entire
it had a good
series.
Soundtrack, but still, I think that Dracula X was like the last actual real Castlevania game.
Ragenator in chat says, wouldn't wall meat be more of a hentai thing? All right, look. When I drink, I choose my words less carefully.
I'm not
going to
bring up the glory hole references.
Yeah. Come on, feels so good. Says, there's a place in San Francisco where you can find meat in the walls. Yes. Yes, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure you've been to that bathroom. I'm sure. All right. Moving on.
Well, there is a teaser of sorts by Yutaka Saito, also goes by Yute, who is the person who gave us Seaman for the Dreamcast.
Great. From wall meat to forget it.
And he put out a tweet and it says, seemingly a new project is being started. Guess what? From the web address on their back. Well, I couldn't read the address because it was really tiny.
I did, and I found the web page.
Oh.
It's seaman.ai.
Okay. So it is Seaman. And Seaman has become a bit of a joke on the show.
Oh yes, we love Seaman here at OLR's Mons Radio.
We really like Seaman here at OLR.
We're
so friendly, you know.
For those not familiar with Seaman, please allow me to take this opportunity to educate you with one of our favorite YouTubes on the subject, and full credit for this goes to YouTube user Salmonation, who uploaded this video in April of 2008. So it's 10 years old. But here's a little bit of Sam, I'm assuming his name is. Here's a little bit of Sam interacting with the fish. So you can hear Sam sounds a little tinny, like he's on a microphone, and the fish has a very deep, bassy voice, as Seaman did. So here you go. A little bit of interaction here.
If my calculations are correct, you must be a Libra. I'll bet you get crushes on people all the time, huh?
Just don't get
any ideas about me. Let's just be friends. For now.
I'll friend your butt.
Are you coming on to me?
Yes. Yes!
Put this tongue in that mouth. Dream on.
Nope.
So, obviously, the technology's probably come a long way thanks to things like Siri and stuff like that. So, if they do make a new Seaman game, I'm really interested
to
see.
Think of how sophisticated that is for, like, the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean. Dude, we all know the Dreamcast was so fucking far ahead of its time. So, I mean, things like Phantasy Star Online and what that brought to online gaming. And just the Dreamcast was ahead of its time. Rest in peace. But, yeah, this is, I mean, things like Siri and OK Google or, you know, all the other
whatever
stuff.
Whatever that stupid Alexa thing.
Voice. Yeah, all that Cortana stuff is like, this is like the oldest version of that. So it would be kind of neat. As silly and as, you know, kitsch as this game is, it would be cool to see it come back in this day and age.
We also had not too long after that on the Nintendo 64, there was the Hey You Pikachu, or as it was in Japan, Pikachu Genki Dechu.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Hey You Pikachu. That's right. That was around the same time. Oh, awesome. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I was just playing my Dreamcast. Granted, it was more Crazy Taxi than Seaman, but still. Oh, yeah. Anytime I ever hear an Offspring song, and it doesn't even have to be the one that was in Crazy Taxi, but anytime I hear an Offspring song, I think about the Dreamcast.
Or Bad Religion.
Yeah. Well, it's more the it's just that yeah.
Hearing
like every time you hear that, it's like
Dexter's memory. Voice evokes the Dreamcast.
Exactly. All right. Well, good luck to those that are producing Seaman the remake right now.
Yes. Just don't drain your resources.
That's right. Loki, what's up next?
So, you may remember we talked a little bit about this Xbox Game Pass subscription service that they're going to have where you can play, I guess, older Xbox One and classic Xbox 360 titles on your Xbox One with a paid subscription each month. So, it's going to be $10 a month, and they would have different titles played. Well, it's actually going to be launching pretty soon. It's coming June 1st, and you'll be able to check it out. They have a 14-day trial if you are an Xbox Live Gold member, which you probably are if you're playing multiplayer. However, gold membership is not required for the service, just if you want to play multiplayer, and it's going to cost $9.99 a month. So yeah, they've some of the titles they've got in there, it looks like Saints Row, Mad Max, some of the BioShock games, Gears of War, they have the Mega Man collection, Halo 5. So I mean, it looks like a pretty decent selection. $9.99 is not bad. I mean, if I had an Xbox, maybe it might be worth it, but
I have not jumped on right away to check this out, but I am super tempted right now to take advantage of that trial and jump in there and play a bunch of stuff.
And it's not all streaming. Take note, Sony. You can download the games to your console, which honestly should be the way it works. Like, this PlayStation Now service thing, stupid. Just put the damn emulators out there.
All right, we'll see. All right. Something to look forward to in the future. Well, maybe. I don't know if everybody's looking forward to this, but I think it could be interesting. It looks like we have confirmation that a Mario Cross Rabbids game is happening. We had heard some rumors and some things out there previously that Nintendo was about to announce this when they unveiled the Switch, but this game ended up getting delayed behind the scenes to the fall, and so they didn't end up announcing this when they announced the Switch. But this looks like almost a certainty that this is something we're going to see at E3. So yes, Mario Cross Rabbids does look like it's going to be real. Certainly that art is out there. Some of the art has put in, and some of the other rumors that have been collected about this game so far. Apparently there is exploration, which is about 35% of the game, and combat makes up 65% of the game. Note that this isn't Ubisoft's answer necessarily to Super Mario RPG. It is and it isn't. Because the fighting in this game is supposed to be more tactical in style. So think something a little more Fire Emblem-ish or Final Fantasy Tactics than necessarily what you saw in Super Mario RPG and what Square Enix brought to the table. That's what the rumor is saying anyway with this so far. There are supposed to be four twisted Mario worlds that are filled with the Easter eggs. The characters that will be available in the game, Mario, Luigi, Peach, Yoshi, and Rabbids that are dressed up as Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Yoshi. And if you haven't seen the picture yet, there is a rabbit that's dressed up as Peach that's pretty perfect, taking a selfie and like all this other silly stuff. So, yeah. The game is estimated to be about 20 hours long, and you're supposed to be able to co-op in this game as well. That'll be pretty cool. Mario uses guns in the game, but when I see the gun, that looks like a Bullet Bill gun. So, you know, Mario guns. Don't think of anything too crazy.
Honestly, when I saw it, it reminded me of Mega Man.
Oh, yeah, like the Mega Burst. It does a little bit. Now, what I thought was interesting is that, you know, they describe the characters in one of these pieces of promo art, and they call Mario the leader, Luigi the eagle eye, Yoshi the explosive head. They call the princess the badass princess, which, look, she is a badass princess, but I was just a little surprised that Nintendo let the word ass be used next to one of their characters. So I was just, that was a little surprising, that's all. And then the rabid princess says, hashtag sassy, hashtag no filter. It me. Anyway. So, yeah, I want to see some gameplay. I mean, all we know now is like rumors and some, you know, screenshots. I said, well, not even really screen, like one screenshot on this little mock-up with the Switch and some character mock-ups. But obviously, there's much more to be seen. And this seems like almost a given for E3 at this point and the Nintendo Direct that will be around that time. So,
or the Ubisoft. Well, probably Nintendo Direct.
Yeah. Rama in chat says, the badass princess is Daisy, not Peach. Well, you know where Daisy is in this game, Rama. Nowhere to be seen. Womp womp. Not yet, anyway. We'll see what happens at E3. All right.
That'd be thwomp thwomp.
Thwomp thwomp. I like that. All right. Moving on. Dark Saga.
Mass Effect stuff. Because it's not a show without Mass Effect references. For those of us who beat the game before there were any patches or anything, we had a hint to what happened to the Quarian arc. The Kila Sia, which also had Ilkor, Hanar, Drell, and Volus. That sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. Especially
sounds like a party in space.
That sounds like a major disaster. Anyway.
Excited. Welcome to the party.
Anyway, there was another mission that came out, one of the Apex missions, that had a result from it that says, and I don't care if it's a spoiler, analysis trying to boost the signal, unknown if, and then tech seems to be helping even if we don't know the blank, back to Kila Sia, blank, way home. So meaning that they're hinting very strongly at a DLC related to the Quarian arc. Of course, we don't know if that came out before or after they put the freeze on Mass Effect stuff. But I would hope that if they pushed it that much and made so many references to it, that they would follow through.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not to go too back to that place of negativity around all the rumored on-ice stuff with Mass Effect, but I would hope this game gets to see at least some of its DLC realized so that whatever story they were trying to tell can kind of, you know, get the completion that, you know, it deserves. But maybe we'll see an Andromeda 2 in several years when they can hand it off to a different studio or something and they figure out how they're going to rework that and erase the negativity that was out there on the internet that I think was a little much, but what else is new?
Well, so far, the only actual Quarian reference we have besides this is the Rigar Carbine. Bam. Which really isn't that great of a weapon.
Plus, it would be nice if they could somehow introduce the Quarians and even some of these other races into the Andromeda universe, then multiplayer could expand with all that, too.
They can bring back the Quarian Engineer.
Hey, fucking, that would be great. I love the Quarian Engineer. So,
anyway.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. Just a few more stories for you guys, and then the classic game of the week. But first, Loki.
So, this is kind of a stretch, but I will go ahead and cover it, but
it's a slow news week.
It's a slow news week.
We're letting some things slip through this week.
All right. Anyways, So during the Webby Awards, I guess, where Pokemon Go won the best mobile game and four other awards, the product manager or product marketing lead, Arshit Bhargava, he had his acceptance speech or whatever, and the last thing he said was, "This summer will be legendary." Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, which people think, oh my god, legendary Pokemon are coming this summer, oh my god.
Well, if they're going to do it, this is the time to do it, because summer being when all the kids are out of school, when the climate, you know, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere, sorry Australia, is going to be, you know, really good weather to be going outside and playing all this stuff, this is the time to do it. If they're doing a legendary event. Now, I thought they were going to do actual live events like Ingress does the live events. But those Ingress live events have been on hold. They haven't done them since. Just so you guys know, because you guys may not, you know, I know some of you still play Pokemon Go. Here's what's going on with their other game, Ingress, because a lot of this is really important. Okay, one, the engine that Ingress is written on is no longer supported. It's like a really old thing. So they're having to create an Ingress 2.0. It's being confirmed that that's happening. We just don't know when. But they are building it in Unity, which is the same platform that Pokemon Go is on. So Ingress 2.0 is happening. And I think partially because of that, we have not seen an Ingress live event happen in the past 6 months. The last Ingress live events, and I actually went to one, was in Chicago in November. It was on Veterans Day last year. It's been that long. Now, just last weekend, because I had some friends that went to this, they did this thing called Magnus Reawakens in the Redwood Forest. So they did it out, which is funny because there's no cell signal out there. However, they had Wi-Fi, and they did this whole event. Like, it almost sounded like nerd Burning Man in a way to me, because it was out in the forest, and people were building portals. They brought artistic creations that were then turned into temporary portals on site. I mean, all things considered, it actually sounded like a really rad thing, and everybody who went that I knew, like, had a great time. I just didn't want to fucking go camping for 3 days, so I didn't go. I was like, bring me back some... they brought me back some nice stuff.
For one, I'm going to hack the giant cock they just made.
So anyway, I tell you all that because at the end of that, they announced, Niantic announced, anomalies are coming back, and here are all the cities for the rest of the year. So we know the anomalies now for Ingress through December 2nd. And I think the first wave, I think it all starts August 29th, question mark.
Any of them in our neighborhood?
Yeah, San Francisco on December 2nd is the closest. They haven't done one in Sacramento for a long, long time. But San Francisco's, you know, pretty good.
San Francisco.
Yeah. But for us, San Francisco is the closest. Portland, Oregon is August's event. And Boulder, Colorado is in early November. Those are the West Coast events, basically. Anyway, the reason why I say all that is because my assumption was that Niantic would do live events for legendaries because that's kind of the impression they gave us in that original trailer. Now, to be fair, how much of that original trailer stuff is actually Pokemon Go? Not much, right? So, you know, maybe they are going to do legendaries just as an event that's available everywhere, because trying to do live events everywhere is going to be, I mean, you know, if they were to announce a live event for legendaries in San Francisco, like, I don't think the city and the city of San Francisco could handle the amount of people that would show up. Yes, there are that many people still playing Pokemon Go. And if, like, only San Francisco had this event, you'd have the entirety of, like, Northern and Southern California Pokemon Go players and then some showing up. Like, it's way more than Ingress. So I wonder if they're realizing that they can't do these live events for Pokemon Go. There's just too damn many people to play it still. Or... if, you know, again, the Ingress stuff isn't starting back up till August, my assumption was that that's because probably 2.0 for Ingress is out during the summer.
So you're going to reset everybody's stats on that stuff?
On Ingress? Yeah. Oh, hell no. They're not going to reset people's stats. People would up and leave. You know, they've sold codes that are in-game badges, things like that. That has to carry over. They could expand the end game. They could make new agent levels, you know, and a new version of the scanner would make room for that. There's always been rumors about, ooh, what's going to be for level 24 and all that stuff. But, you know, that's all to be determined for Ingress. Anyway, I don't mean to take this on and on just talking about Ingress, but I think obviously the two do relate, being that it's a company that makes Pokemon Go. I just think that they're going to have to either do an event like they've been doing these other types of events that are just kind of for everybody, or maybe they will do a bunch of cities, you know, on a particular July, since, you know, the Ingress stuff doesn't start till August. I don't know. What do you think, Logie? Do you think it's just going to be an event, or do you think we could actually have live events?
They may try it, and if it fails, then they just won't do it anymore. But I can't see it would be bad PR if, like, all of a sudden, you know, they do an event in San Francisco, and it just, like, clogs San Francisco. I mean, that's good PR right there.
You're right.
That's just like, holy shit, you know, this is still popular.
Well,
and
I remember when they did the Pokemon World Championships in San Francisco, they actually had to close it off to the public. And they said, nothing Pokemon Go will be happening here. Don't come if you're coming for Pokemon Go. Because they were worried that there were rumors on the internet that, oh, the legendaries are going to spawn at the Pokemon World Championships. And people were already planning to go from very far away to be one of the first to catch a fuck up. Because that was right at the hype of Pokemon Go hysteria, was right during that time.
Yeah.
So they actually had to come out and say, if you're coming for Pokemon Go, don't come. We win anyway. But I had a good time. We shopped at the little Pokemon Center that they had set up there, and, you know, it was a good time. All right, anyway. We'll see what ends up happening in Pokemon Go with legendary events. But I'm sure those seasonal events they've been doing have been working very well for them.
Yeah, I like those. Yeah. I'm not excited about the rock-type one, but that's fine. I hope they do more of those, because those are kind of like after they end, it's like, eh.
How about more fire ones? Hello, Charizard.
Yeah, fire event would be nice.
That would seem like a gimme. Dark Sakura was reminded to catch a Pokemon today because I could see it on her phone.
Oh, because there's a Rattata in your yard.
Oh, well, thank you for...
I've now made a vow to never catch another Paris. Ever.
I don't blame you.
They are fucking...
Everywhere.
And terrible bad.
Everywhere. Well, you know what else is everywhere, but it's actually kind of good, is Monster Hunter. You like that transition? Monster Hunter Double Cross, or Monster Hunter XX, if you will. It is going to be coming out on the Switch. That was announced this past week. That's pretty exciting. We don't know the day. We don't know the pricing yet, but it will be coming out on the Nintendo Switch. And from what I understand, this is pretty interesting, because Shane and I were talking about it in the car the other day, and he was following this a little closer, because I don't get super into the Monster Hunter games. But he pointed out that the Monster Hunter on Switch is going to be able to talk to the 3DS version. And that's a pretty big reveal for a feature in the Switch, is the fact that it can play with 3DS people. So, who knows what that could bring for the future. It could just be a one-time thing, but it's worth putting out there. So, anyway, let's also talk about Street Fighter 2, but Street Fighter 2, the final challenge on the Nintendo Switch, which, of course, was released this past week. And I'm sorry, it is called Ultra Street Fighter 2. I don't know why. Sorry, guys. That all that stuff that Dark Soccer is giving me is starting to take hold. Anyway, so for Ultra Street Fighter 2, that just released this past week, and there was some talk over on certain forums that talked about how, Capcom has actually said that their future plans for the Switch can kind of hinge on the sales of Ultra Street Fighter 2. And understandably, this pissed a lot of people off, because it's like, wow, way to set up your expectations for fucking failure, and all those things we pointed out at the beginning of the show about how, you know, $40 for this is a pretty tough pill to swallow. However, the translation as it was originally translated was found to be a little erroneous. So the official translation, or not, I guess not even official, but the retranslation, if you will, said something a little bit more like, we will plan our support while looking at the situation of the platform. So not necessarily saying that it's the expectations are based on the sales of Street Fighter 2, but more keeping an eye on the Switch. You know, the fact that they're releasing Monster Hunter Double Cross on it is a little more promising, because that's a game that'll probably sell a little better, depending on how Monster Hunter can, you know, succeed here in the U.S., But the game that really needs to be on the fucking Switch is that Disney Morning or Disney Afternoon Collection. Why is that still not on the Switch? Wah. Anyway, let's see. Going to our chat. Dark Tetsuya says that Monster Hunter Double Cross has been dated. It's August 25th, at least in Japan. YYR says there was a NeoGAF thread called, which will sell more copies? Street Fighter V or Ultra Street Fighter II? I'm going to say Street Fighter V because you can already get it on sale cheaper than you can get Ultra Street Fighter II.
And that's saying something right there. And
yes.
I understand that it came out earlier, but you're talking Street Fighter that they just basically they shoehorned a couple characters in there that are really kind of, it's not like a big deal or anything.
They're reskins. It's Evil Ryu and Violent Ken. They're just reskins. It's nothing that special.
It just doesn't seem worth the money. And if let's assume that the translation wasn't incorrect, then I think it's a stupid thing to, you know, hinge all your bets on the system based off one game that's really a port of a really old game.
Well, but if it's not what they said, then they didn't
say
it.
Yeah, I understand that, but like I know Konami in the past had done this.
That's true. There have been other companies that have said, well, if this game doesn't sell, then I guess we're done. You're right, and Konami's been one of those companies when it comes to some of the music
games.
And
it's always shitty. Well, you know what? It's not up to – you're the one that has to make those decisions. It's not up to the consumer to decide, you know, that you – if you're going to support a platform, it's a gaming platform. If you just choose not to support it because of whatever, it's not going to be because people didn't buy your fucking old-ass game that you ported to the system for way too much money.
And this can't be stressed enough. And we said this all the time when it came to Konami and their subpar releases of, like, DDR in the U.S. and Beatmania and all that stuff is you have to take a risk to get a reward. You have to. If you take these low-risk things and you go, oh, people will buy it anyway because no, these low-risk things, which Ultra Street Fighter II, I think, falls in that category, are going to open themselves up more to this, you know, bullshit on the internet.
Yeah, look at, like, some of the stuff they did with, like, the Wii. Tatsunoko versus Capcom. That was a game that was exclusive to that platform.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty, you know, advantageous. Do another one of those. I mean, that would be pretty exciting. That's a brand-new game. It was a different engine. It ran on the Wii, so you can't tell me that shit does not run on the fucking, you know, Switch. And yes, I understand that fucking that was a licensed game with Tatsunoko or whatever, but take that engine and make a Street Fighter game out of it or something, or, you know, do something crazy with it. Put some other Capcom characters in there. You know, do another, you know, Street Fighter versus Capcom game or something. You can make it exclusive, put some effort into it. And that would be worth $40 or even $60 if it's a really good game. Not this, oh, hey, it's a Street Fighter 2. Yeah, people love it. Yeah, people have purchased that game probably dozens of times. They don't need to purchase it again to play. I mean, let's put it this way. If you purchase the 3DS and you purchase Street Fighter 4 3D with it, how often did you play that against other people? I mean, just look at that. I mean, this is probably how much you're going to use this system to play Street Fighter 2. Yeah, you may do it for a while, but then newer shit's going to come out and people are going to stop playing it. And that's what's going to happen. And it's not worth the $40. $20, then that might be all right. $40, no. I don't think so.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's take a trip down memory lane, you guys. Let's take a trip back. Back to when we paid $80 for Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo, and we fucking liked it. We loved it. It was legendary. Now, that's not the classic game of the week this week, probably because that was done years and years ago. However, Darkstalker is going to step into the gaming vault and find another game that she thinks, hey, you know what? You should respect this game. And by respect, that means don't charge $40 for it on the Switch. Right, Darkstalker?
Yes, and it's an oldie.
This is a very oldie game this week.
Yeah. The game I picked is Radar Scope by Nintendo, which was released in Japan December 1979. And we got it almost a year later in 1980, November in the U.S. Radar Scope was a fairly early arcade game, but, you know, you can tell from the year. But it wasn't...
And the noise.
But it wasn't Nintendo's first arcade game. It was a shooter that kind of can be considered a cross between Space Invaders and Galaxian. It's kind of on like a tilted plane. And it had three different cabinets. You had an upright, a cockpit, and a cocktail. It really wasn't that popular. It was considered a failure. But it is, I think, relatively unique for all of the little alien shooters that were out at that time, because in the early days of gaming, I mean, really, you just had more of the same kind of game for a while until someone would make an innovation, release a certain type of game, and then you would have more games like it that played on the theme. So we had Space Fighters for a long time, you know. But anyway, this was also the first game that Miyamoto helped develop. It had the big innovation. It was the three-dimensional third-person perspective that was also used later in games like Juno First by Konami and Beam Rider by Activision. And this game was actually considered second only to Pac-Man in Japan in popularity for a while, even though it wasn't considered successful commercially. But Donkey Kong was released on Radarscope's hardware, and it used surplus Radarscope cabinets. So kind of interesting how this ties into other things that came later by Nintendo. The earlier Nintendo games were EVR Space, Computer Othello, Sheriff that was released in the U.S. By Exidy as Bandito, Space Fever, and Space Firebird. So, anyway, as far as the game, you have to defend your station against enemy spaceships, and they attack and then go back into formation, kind of like Galaxian. And you have to destroy the 48 ships before you lose your spaceports. You also have rapid-fire laser blasters that zooms the lasers onto this field so that it's kind of like a semi-three-dimensional field of curved vectors that it can, you know, shoot the enemies down. And your laser blasters have a damage meter that light up as, you know, they're damaged, and bingo. And it also will weaken your offensive ability, and you gain ability by attacking and destroying the enemies. And like I said, the game was popular for a short while in Japan. And the president of Nintendo of America at that time wanted a large order for it. By the time it arrived in New York, the buzz kind of debuzzed. It sobered. And then no one really wanted to play it. And on top of that, as you can hear this chirping sound in the background on the game, kind of annoyed people.
Yeah, it's not the most audio friendly yet. But again, you have to consider the year. This was 1980, right? This is at least like 5 years before do. So, you know, this is older.
Well, basically, they were left with so many unsold units after this that Nintendo was actually heading toward a financial crash. So the president at the time, his name was Minoru Arakawa. He reached out to his father-in-law, who was the Nintendo CEO. By the way, this was the president of Nintendo of America, not Nintendo Japan. His father-in-law was the CEO of Nintendo in general. Basically, he begged for a new game that could come out. So that's when it was put out to make another game using that hardware, pretty much to convert it. And so Miyamoto's idea was chosen, and that became Donkey Kong. So they released them. A lot of them were via conversion kits. And so basically, of the 3,000 units that were created for Radarscope, 2,000 of them got converted to Donkey Kong. And you can tell which ones are converted because of the red cabinets. So if you find one with a red cabinet, chances are it was converted Radarscope. And there you go. If not for this game, there would be no Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I mean, you can even tell. This game has that classic Nintendo font. I don't know how else to describe it. Maybe, Darksocker, you can kind of hear me out there. Like, the way things are written and the hardware and the way it is very similar to what you see in the later Nintendo games, like Donkey Kong and everything.
That kind of semi-rounded, pixelated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very distinct kind of look to it, I think. So.
But I wanted to bring this up because Donkey Kong is considered, like, one of the major classics.
Sure.
But would it have existed if this game hadn't failed?
Great question. So. Awesome. Well, thank you for that. Nope. All right, there it is, your classic game of the week. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio, we're going to talk a little bit more about Donkey Kong, because there's a very interesting something-something happening.
Danky Kang.
Danky Kang and Princess Zordla. We'll be talking about that when we come back. You know that meme is fake as hell. That did not actually happen on Jeopardy. I hope you all know. It's on Snopes, if you want to look it up. But anyway.
So funny.
We'll talk a little bit about Far Cry 5, because I know there's been a lot of talk about that. And we're going to talk about Darksoccer's going to be excited about this. A new soundtrack of an old game on an old medium.
That I can't afford.
That you can't afford. But, you know, maybe she starts collecting the biddies on Twitch. She could afford it in 5 years.
I have no idea what that is.
It's fine.
I don't Twitch, although I will be going back to doing the next installment of How to Full Boyfriend.
You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. All right, when we come back, and more vodka, because my glass is now empty, y'all, if you can't already tell. When we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, Memorial Day weekend edition. This is episode 688 for May 28th of 2017. If you're just joining us live at the Voice of Geeks Network, being that it is a three-day weekend, we're partaking a little bit in some beverages of an adult kind, including this 7-Up or Sprite, whatever, same thing, mixed with this ginger vodka the Dark Sakura makes that is amazing when it's mixed together. It tastes like ginger beer, but like it's fucking me up. It's great. I like this. So kudos. Well,
it was a little bit too strong for me. And it was
one of my, love strong ginger.
It was one of my experiments.
Yeah.
And I can eat crystallized ginger, but the vodka came out like that first drink.
Mm-hmm.
It burns.
Yeah.
And then it's
Well, I think
sweet.
The mixing helped. You tried it mixed. I think
I
that
did.
Helps
it
a lot.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. I tried a little bit of your other one that you talked about earlier, the violet one.
The Parma violet?
Yeah. That wasn't bad, but it was just like, I really just wanted more ginger.
It's probably a little more froofy in flavor.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit.
Well, I will make you more of this.
Yeah.
I'll make you a lot more of it if you want.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. So,
and of course, candy corn.
Yeah, the candy corn one. I haven't
touched
that yet.
The candy corn and the ginger would be good together.
We won't find out because I may have just finished off the ginger.
Oops.
There's a little bit left. Probably enough for a shot.
I'll need to take the jar home then if you're going to finish it tonight.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
So anyway, I had to ask Star Sire. I'm like, oh, I'm not drinking too much because I don't know how strong this stuff is. This could be deceptively strong stuff, but I'm definitely feeling buzzed. I don't think I'm at that like full-on like point yet, which is probably good because, you know, I am still trying to do a radio show. But yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Something else I'm feeling good about. So for the first time, this past weekend, I didn't talk about this yet, but I got to do, because it was our pal Shane's birthday a few days ago, so he wanted to do an escape room for his birthday. So I got to do an escape room for the first time. We went to a place all the way in San Jose. I don't know why. Well, I know why we couldn't do one here, because Shane researched. He said, I only want to do an escape room if it's a multi-room and you don't have somebody in there with you and like all this other stuff that's monitored through cameras. So he found this place to go to, so I got to do an escape room for the first time. And I got to say, it was a lot of fun. Like it was like four different rooms. It was like a room. Then we went into like a hallway, and then there was like two more rooms after that. And there were some puzzles we had to solve, and they were kind of tough. Like we had to get a hint on the last one. You were allowed to use one hint in each room you went into, and we didn't use a hint up until the very last room. And it was one of those things where it was like I was coming to that conclusion, but we only had 5 minutes left. But with the hint, we got out of there with 2 minutes to spare. So that was exciting. So, but yeah, I got to do my first escape room experience.
Cool.
It was cool because it was set, like you had the cool, like you had like if you got the code, you put it in the number pad, and when you hit the number pad, the lights would change. And then when you were like stepping on certain platforms, the gate would open to let you in the next room. Like there was just like there was cool like James Bond shit like that. And that's what I was hoping for in my escape rooms. So It was a good cool. time. Yeah, it was like doing a video game, but IRL. Some pretty serious puzzles. All right, let's get into some rapid fire news. Actually, I want to mention our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. VidPower mentions escape room designers always amaze me. You know, if I remember right, VidPower lives in Las Vegas. And I was just thinking, Shane was saying that the escape rooms he's done, he hasn't done any that are as good as the ones in Orlando. And I'm thinking, oh, Orlando's theme park central. You're not going to find anything better than there. I bet Las Vegas has some killer escape rooms. I'll have to look into that. We'll see. Anyway, yeah, Brad from Pop Culture says, sounds cool. Yeah, it was a good time. Good time. All right, let's get into some rapid-fire news. Loki.
So Grand Theft Auto Online has been expanding and expanding and expanding and more expansions. Well, there's even more expansions coming. This time they're going to be adding gun running. So you'll be able to add that to your criminal enterprise as a way to diversify your cash income. So what they're going to have along with that, apparently they're going to have these different hatches. So they're mysterious properties that you'll find, I guess, with the Maze Bank foreclosure sites. And there's like some underground warehouses or stuff that you can purchase. And they even have like weapon ranges you can check out your different guns with. And they're even saying military grade vehicles. So that's all very cool. And of course, like all the other DLC that they've had for Grand Theft Auto Online, it's free. So gotta check that out. I still haven't gone back to Grand Theft Auto Online. I'm kind of not sure. I don't know if I can import my progress from when I was playing on console, because I think I'm too late for that. But it'll be kind of fun to go back. And I remember it's kind of a grindy affair, but now they have a lot more things you can do. So it'll be interesting to see how that all works now. All right. And then this is kind of cool. So they're going to be getting a game. All right. There's a game called The Culling, which is coming out pretty soon here on Xbox One. And I guess it's just recently, well, within the last year, released on Steam Early Access. But The Culling is kind of a Battle Royale type game. So basically you have 16 players that are pit against each other with guns, melee weapons, and traps, and all sorts of stuff. And it's like a, you know, Battle Royale format. But yeah, it'll be coming to Xbox One on June 2nd as part of our Xbox Game Preview Program. That's our kind of like early access equivalent there. But yeah, be interesting to check that out. Too bad I don't have an Xbox One. But I guess I could pick up the Steam version if I wanted to. So yeah, that's it.
Oh, I think I would play that because I like Battle Royale. It sounds like fun.
I hear that some people didn't take kindly to all the changes in that game, though. But I guess the game's getting a second chance on Xbox.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about Red Dead Redemption 2. I know that's a game that Loki's probably looking forward to.
Yep, I am looking forward to it.
Well, you'll have to look forward a little longer because it's been pushed back to spring of 2018. But, again, yeah, it better they do that and have a good game.
If there's a company I'm going to trust with delays on games, yep, it's going to be Rockstar Games. Yep. So I'm perfectly okay with that.
So there it is. It was originally planned for fall of 2017, and in a message they said, "This outlaw epic set across the vast and unforgiving American heartland will be the first Rockstar game created from the ground up for the latest generation of console
and
hardware."
They released screenshots for that game. It looks fantastic.
And says some extra time is necessary to ensure that we can deliver the best experience possible for our fans. We're sorry for any delay, or sorry for any disappointment the delay causes, but we're firm believers in delivering a game only when it's ready. We're excited to bring you more details about the game this summer. In the meantime, please enjoy this selection of new screenshots from Red Dead Redemption 2.
Too bad it's not coming out on PC, though, at launch, at least.
Well, I wonder if they'll just do a delay like they've done for the other games.
Well, you know, the Xbox, or I say when they did the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions, that's when the PC version came out for that. That was a good year later, so I don't know. Still kind of disappointing.
Act Deft in chat says, "Rockstar and delays in the same sentence. Color me surprised."
But it's worth it, though.
So if you have a Samsung TV that's been having a hard time with a Nintendo Switch, some good news for you. Samsung is apparently going to be releasing a firmware update for their TVs. The Samsung TVs feature an automatic HDMI switching system that swap between channels when devices are in use. But because of the way the Switch is designed, the TV can kind of switch back and forth between the Switch and whatever else is going when the console is docked. Now, the weird thing is I have a Samsung TV, and this doesn't happen to me. I actually do love the fact, though, that when I put the Switch in, it does switch right over to HDMI 2 where I have it plugged in, and it goes right to it. Like, I like that. I don't have the same problem, but I've certainly been hearing that feedback from other people. It must just be certain types of televisions. So anyway, they are monitoring the feedback on the community thread, and they are going to do a firmware update early this summer to address the behavior and provide the level of convenience that was intended. So that is some good news for folks that have been annoyed with their TVs constantly switching on them. ActDef saying, "My TV is also Samsung. I haven't gotten that problem." I've definitely heard from people that do get it. You know, I think it's just probably what type of Samsung TV you have, maybe what year you bought it or what have you. Moving on to Dark Sakura.
Well, Titanfall 2 is getting a new Titan and a new map next week. Hooray. They have said that on the 30th, that's going to come out. And, of course, this content will be free. The new Titan is called Monarch, who is a mid-range Vanguard class that can self-upgrade. So, interesting. And then, in other news, we're going to be getting a classic Street Fighter 2 stage in Street Fighter 5 on May 30th. That means Vegas, as in, or as he was in Japan, Balrog, his stage with the fence in the background that he can climb on will be coming back. And there will be some different changes, and of course, Ed. And there you go.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase SHAKE.
All right, let's travel around and check out what is coming out in stores this week. What hasn't been delayed and will actually be on shelves this week?
Quite a bit, actually. So we've got coming out on the Nintendo Switch, Astro Duel Deluxe. On PlayStation 4 and PC, we have Danger Zone, MXGP3, the official motocross video game on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, Star Trek Bridge Crew on the Vive, the Rift, and the PlayStation VR, Ease Origin on PlayStation Vita. We have Episode 5 of Season 3 of The Walking Dead on PC, Mac, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, iOS, and Android. Don't Knock Twice on the Vive and the Rift. And then we have Seiken Densetsu Collection on the Switch.
Ooh!
And Tekken 7 on the PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That is it.
Let's go to the UK, Dark Sakura.
I wish. This kind of sucks over here. On the 30th, we have Crossout for PlayStation 4, Xbox One. On PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, also we have Oh Sir, the Insult Simulator. Or is that like Shade the Game? I don't know. On the 31st, we have First Strike Final Hour for Mac and PC. And on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, we have Tokyo 42. Now, in June, the first few days of June, just on the 2nd, we have Tekken 7 for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And Symphony.
All right, heading over to Japan and checking out the releases there. On the 1st of June, a little game you might have heard of called Tekken 7. It's coming out on the PlayStation 4 over there. I mean, Dark Sakura did just mention it, as did Loki. But, you know, Tekken, the Tekken series. Dark Sakura, you interested in Tekken 7, or are we kind of over Tekken at this point?
I kind of got burned after Tekken 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had kept the way that Jin handled, and as he did in Tekken 3,
yeah,
then I would have been happy.
Akuma's in there.
It might be a time to just give it a shot. Give it a shot. Who knows?
I'll take a shot.
All right. On the Vita, a game called Sheen is coming out, as well as Tsukitomo Tsukiyuta 12 Memories. Both are out on the Vita this week in Japan. And checking the Switch and the 3DS real quick, the Switch does have, of course, the Seiken Densetsu Collection is out in Japan this week. I have a feeling some of you guys are going to be importing that. That is out on June the 1st. And on the Nintendo 3DS, some price reductions. Tales of the Abyss goes into the Welcome Price from Bandai Namco. And another Bandai Namco game going into the Welcome Price, getting a price reduction. Ridge Racer 3D gets a price reduction this week in the Welcome Price Collection. And I'm thinking in my mind, wasn't that like a launch game on 3DS? Like, that game is old, but it's about time, I guess, that gets a welcome price there. Maybe it finally sold however many copies they need to do that. All right, let's go to the mailbag. Every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. It's the place where you can participate with the show. And Dark Soccer dives in the mailbag head first, and this week she found a bunch of air.
There was one.
Lowly postcard lying at the bottom of the empty mailbag. Let's get to the mailbag, Dark Soccer.
Hey, OLR. I hope all is well.
It
doesn't suck. I just wanted to know what your E3 predictions are this year. I'm hoping for an Onimusha remaster, a Need for Speed title that doesn't suck, a Street Fighter collection since it's the 30th anniversary after all, Saga compilation, and some Final Fantasy VII remake footage. Thanks, guys, and take care. Tristan. I've stopped having expectations for E3 a long time ago.
Yeah, usually we kind of set some time aside to do these the week before. However, since he is the only person to email us this week, let's indulge it a little bit. What are some E3 predictions you guys might have? Maybe like one thing from each of the companies. Loki.
You know, ironically enough, I would actually be all down for a new Ridge Racer game. I really do wish they put out one. It's been like so really missed. They used to launch consoles with Ridge Racer. And ever since the PlayStation 3, I guess the Vita had a Ridge Racer, but it sucked. I mean, it's just, bring it back. I mean, especially on modern hardware now, it looks so good. And I miss that. I really wish they'd just try again. So there's that. My expectations of the other systems, Nintendo, I don't really have any expectations. I'm sure we'll see some more of, you know, Mario Odyssey or whatever, and that'll be probably pretty cool. I just am not really expecting any bombshell announcements, especially after last year, they didn't really have a whole ton. Let's see, probably Microsoft. Honestly, don't know what they're going to show. Hope Crackdown's among what they're going to show. Really, the rest of their announcements, I'm kind of in the dark on. Sony, hope more PlayStation VR stuff, because it'd be nice to see what's on the forefront for that. I know we still have a lot of games that they're showing at last year's E3 that aren't out yet. So, I can't remember the names of them, but there's that one with zombies in it. Could be anything nowadays. But that game is still not out yet, so it'd be interesting to see what exactly that's supposed to be and what other games they have in the works. Bethesda, I would like a new Skyrim or a new Elder Scrolls game would be nice.
Not happening.
Okay, well, what new franchise are there? What are they? I mean, I don't want
Fallout Vegas and Fallout 4's setup. Side story Fallout thing.
I'd be fine with Fallout New Vegas remastered. I'd try that. I mean, I didn't play through much of it on PC, but I'd be down for a remaster of that. Sure, I'm on board.
Dark Sakura?
I don't really have any expectations so much as things I would hope for. Like, I would love for them to remaster the last Mass Effect trilogy. Mm. Could you imagine all of that with really good graphics?
I just worry with where Mass Effect's at right now, they're going to just kind of put the talk of that series on ice for
it
a little while.
It would be a guaranteed moneymaker, though.
Yeah, I know. If you want to try to get Mass Effect back up with people, go back and do those games that everybody really enjoyed. Not that Andromeda was bad, though. I would love to see multiplayer from 3 come back. I mean, but I love the new one, but I understand it's so complicated. All right, my predictions quickly. Nintendo, I think the Smash remaster is going to be, it's been rumored already, and I think that's going to prove to be the big that they do.
Such low hanging fruit. I understand but it's such, as we talked about earlier, it's such a small risk. I mean, like, people like Smash? Of course they do. I mean, let's just port it over. I mean, it's so low risk, and they're going to charge a full retail price on that, and it's sickening.
But here's a couple things with that. Obviously, there'll be some new characters to kind of sweeten the pot, and maybe they'll do some stuff. You know, they'll add some new modes, some new cute things to try to sweeten the pot a little bit with that. I also think that is going to be when Nintendo finally introduces how they're answering the game sharing and the social media stuff. I don't think the Switch is going to be capable of live streaming to Twitch, but I think there will be something about like the game sharing and buying into that. I think and again, these are predictions and just things I'm pulling out of my hat. But I think it's going to be exclusively through YouTube. And that's not just because of Mario Kart 8, although I think that's a pretty good hint. But I think it's going to be exclusively through YouTube because Nintendo has YouTube on lock when it comes to getting their money out of it.
Why can't they share, though? Because like an Android phone or like a phone or a tablet can
stream. Well, maybe they
Twitch.
Will.
Aren't these pieces of hardware capable of what phones can do?
I'm going to keep it real. I don't think Nintendo wants to put the full stuff out there like the other companies have it. I just don't think Nintendo wants to do it. I think they want to do highlights on YouTube and try to get that going, but I don't know. We'll see. Only reason why I'm a little iffy on Smash is because we have ARMS already, so it's like you're going to have two fighting games in a year, but I do I'm kind of like there are different types and there's plenty of room. We had fast racing Neo
and Mario
Kart. Smash
and it could be coming out next year.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a early 2018 game. But anyway, that's what I think is going to go on with Nintendo. And they need to say something about Virtual Console. If they don't talk about Virtual Console, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Animal Crossing. would be nice.
On the phone, yeah.
I would be so happy.
Let's see. Moving on to Sony. I think Sony's going to be interesting because where I do expect a few surprises, I think you hit the nail on the head with something, is that they've shown so much that still isn't out. So I fully expect, like, God of War ought to be that ought to be the centerpiece of Sony's show, I would assume.
God of War, there's that other game I can't think of the name of, but it was, like, you know, that really nice-looking zombie game that they had. The second Last of Us.
Yeah, so I feel like Sony's going to be a lot of updates in a way, and that's okay. As long as Sony kind of goes, you know, playable, that'll be some good stuff. Microsoft obviously needs to focus on Scorpio, and we just need to hear about why I need one. That's what I really just need to hear from Microsoft is why do I need a Scorpio? I would love to hear a little more about HoloLens.
Well, yeah, exactly with the Scorpio thing. Where that technology is going. Look at it this way. I have a nice new laptop now. I don't need to buy an Xbox One to play their games. I mean, so it's like,
yeah.
What's the point? I'm just going to buy, you know, I'll buy Crackdown on PC.
An interesting comment from Stoppy in chat, though, saying at live.vognetwork.com, maybe now that we plebs are allowed into E3, it's more like the carnivals in town instead of an industry show. And I think that's a really good thing to remember in the back of your mind is that E3 is not necessarily so much now about needing to get the word out about products because the internet does that for everybody now. Nintendo knows that better than anyone, but of course all the companies are doing this now, really. But it's about really making hype for holiday games. So, and, you know, hype for the systems themselves. They still want to sell more PlayStation 4s and more Xbox Ones and all that. So
it's I would like a new Excite Truck game, just saying.
It's going to be a different tone. We'll see. All right, thank you for the email, emailer. Participate at orangelaundry.com.
It will sell me a system, I'm telling you. You come out with a new Excite Truck game, I will buy the system. And that goes for any console out there. If you want to put Excite Truck on another PlayStation system, I will buy that system for Excite Truck.
All right, let's move on to some more news for the week. We'll start with Loki.
All right, so this is kind of really odd take on this, but they're turning The King of Kong into a musical. Yes, The King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters, that whole documentary about, you know, Billy Mitchell and Steve Wiebe is now going to be a musical. They're, I guess, I don't know, they're talking about, like, that they're assessing the musical content, and including, they said, the Museum of Your Heart by Walter Day. I don't know. That sounds really weird. I can't imagine that as a musical.
It sounds so cheesy and stupid, and I kind of love it. Some of the best musicals out there are cheesy, stupid things. I mean, look at Rocky Horror Picture Show. But, I mean, all...
This is true. This is me coming off of, you know, not only a few weeks ago actually seeing The Bodyguard, the musical...
You fucking went and saw The Bodyguard.
Yes,
music.
I did.
Of course, your wife.
Of course, I mean, look at my wife.
Oh my god! Of course, your wife, the biggest like Whitney Houston fan out there, made you go see The Bodyguard musical. Oh my god, I didn't know this. This is more important than the news story.
How was The Bodyguard musical? It wasn't bad, actually. It was all right. I mean,
was it Deborah Cox in lead role?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So it was all right. I mean, I don't know.
And how was that?
It was all right. Yeah, they added some songs that weren't in there before, like other Whitney Houston songs, which is kind of neat. I thought they were pretty good. And there was like one of the like child like who played her son.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Mitchell or I think that was I don't remember the kid's name. God, I've only seen the movie way too many times. But yeah, they had. I don't know. It was very abridged, and they changed kind of the story a little bit. Like it doesn't follow the movie entirely. Like the stalker guy is a different person.
And Lord knows how many times you've had to watch the movie.
yeah, seriously. But it is a little bit different. But it's interesting. It was all right. You know, my wife kind of dragged me to it, and it wasn't the worst thing I've seen.
The user named I Heart Rob Roberts in our chat room asks, did you cry, Loki?
No.
Only manly tears. I'm just kidding. All right. But yeah, King of Kong is a musical, like is an off Broadway sort of thing. Like it's so off Broadway. It's in Jersey.
I still want to see.
I could get into that.
Evil Dead, the musical. And that actually came locally here not too long ago. And I mean, if they can make that into a musical, then sure, why not?
Why not? All right. Let's move on to Far Cry 5. That's right. Far Cry 5 was announced. A lot more of the details on the game this week. So Far Cry 5 is being set in the mountains of Montana, and it's going to be about a religious cult. It's being set in Hope County, Montana, and there's like and you can see this in the cover art. There's lots of like religious cultists there on it, and kind of in the style of like Heaven's Gate or those guys that in Waco, Texas. What was the name of that? Remember that whole thing? But anyway, yeah, that whole stuff. It was like, it's kind of
It is interesting. Like I did watch, you know, they had 6 trailers available for that.
Jeez.
Well, they had like a trailer. They had kind of like the character highlights.
Oh, the character highlights, because, like the heroes, the pastor, the Mary May.
That's going to be different about this game versus other Far Cry games is there's multiple characters you can play as, and they even have, I think, co-op throughout the whole game, which is kind of cool. But basically, the premise is that these cultists come into this town. And they're like kind of promising to save everybody. And what they've done is actually like started kidnapping people and just basically forcing them into their cult. And now these people who are in this town are just going to fight back against them because they're just fucking sick of it. And so it does look pretty cool. Like a very interesting premise. And I'm down with playing it. It looks very interesting.
Well, you'll be waiting till early 2018 when everything else is coming out.
That's fine. I think that's when the last Far Cry 4 came out.
It was a November game, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe Far Cry 4 was December. Far Cry Primal was February.
Stoppy in chat says, I'm glad we're finally getting historically accurate first-person games again. They need to move on from World War II. Well, to be fair, this isn't based on any real religious cult, but obviously there's a lot of inspiration, heavy inspiration.
You probably
taken.
Don't want to see the latest Call of Duty then if you don't want World War II games because they're going back to World War II. And to be fair, I am interested to see what they come up with that because I did like the Call of Duty 2, and I mean, Call of Duty 2 was like one of the games that sold me on the Xbox 360, and it was a fantastic game. I mean, those old Call of Duty games, they were great. I mean, so I'm hoping that it stays like that. Because honestly, what they did with whatever Infinite Warfare was a little fucking crazy and a little that took it too far.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on with a few more stories, and we'll be getting your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype very soon. But first, Dark Sakura.
Well, vinyl is making a comeback. We have all known this, and that same company that has put out the Shenmue soundtrack and Outrun and all these others is also now doing Gunstar Heroes, which is a really awesome treasure game. It has some really great music, and so it's going to be released by Data Discs that will be 2 LPs, and they are going to be available to purchase apparently right now already. Hold on. I looked at the price on it a moment ago because I was thinking about ordering it, and then I realized that I have other things to spend my money on. But hold on. I'm getting the price right now. So they have it listed for, and this is, of course, British pounds, $24.99. Some of the other things on their site is a Galaxy Force 2 and Thunderblade soundtrack, Revenge of Shinobi, Panzer Dragoon, Golden Axe 1 and 2, Outrun, Streets of Rage 2, Super Hang-On, Shinobi 3, Shenmue, and the original Streets of Rage. So check it out if you have a record player.
Are you interested in getting this? You gonna drop this? Let's drop the beat.
I thought about it, and then I was like, "We don't have a record player, and we really only have a handful of albums that we'd want to keep. Like we've got Weird Al's Even Worse. We have Mandatory Fun and it signed.
Mm-hmm.
We have Xanadu. I gave you my the Rocky Horror Picture Show audience participation.
Yes, I have that in the I think the closet somewhere.
ABBA Super Trooper.
I think you may have given me an ABBA cover, but the only ABBA album I have out here, vinyl, I bought that copy of ABBA's The Visitors.
I'm fairly sure I bought you Super Trooper.
You did. I think it's in the closet.
And a Bette Midler.
This one came from Seattle. Oh. It was a record store we were visiting. We were up there. And The Visitors is my favorite ABBA album. It was their last one. So,
But I also...
And yes, I like ABBA a lot. It's like... Some gays now, like Gaga, some Madonna.
One treasure
I'm old school.
That I own is the Gorillaz Demon Days Parlophone release the first printing of it, not the reprint, unopened.
Nice.
I could probably fetch $500 for it.
The new album. I never asked you.
The new album's really good.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something you have to listen to from start to finish. It's one of those kind of albums.
Mm.
But Saturn's Bars is like the best track on there, and Andromeda. So really, really good album.
Cool. All right. Just a few more stories and then your calls. Loki.
Speaking of movies I've seen way too many times, the Angry Bird movie is something that I've had to watch dozens of times with my kids. And it honestly, it's not a great movie, but it's not. It's funny for adults, too. So, I mean, I enjoyed it enough. There are worse things that I've seen. But they are making a sequel, and it's going to be coming out in 2019. It's going to be, I guess they're going to have maybe some of the same voice actors in there as well. It's being directed by Thrupp Van Orman, who did the marvelous misadventures of Flapjack in Adventure Time. So, and then it being co-directed by John Rhys, who does King of the Hill and Rick and Morty. I like that combination. So I'm all down with another adult-humored movie. So, yeah. So check that out. And then finally, Resident Evil, that movie series kind of went from typical Resident Evil to where we've gone beyond the Matrix kind of crazy shit. But they're rebooting it. So now they're going to have a brand new series that's going to be coming out. I don't know when, but interesting. All these video game reboots, maybe with the Tomb Raider one now and this. Be curious to see. I wonder if they'll go in the direction of like the new Resident Evil game, you know, where it's more, although that's kind of really generic horror movie trope stuff right now. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know, because when the first Resident Evil movie came out, I was like, this doesn't seem to have that much in common with the game. I mean, there's some of the ideas and so forth, but
well,
I remember
in the later movies, like,
yeah,
I'm
true.
Like, I haven't played any of these later games. I'm pretty sure none of this shit is in there, but it's pretty entertaining to watch. I mean, it's just a popcorn movie.
I think those movies kind of became something else, but doesn't seem a little, I don't know, doesn't seem a little early to reboot a series that like just recently ended, and I use my ended in quotey fingers, ended as in Mila Jovovich is sick of this shit. Like, it's like, I mean, to be fair, that woman has been in those movies. I mean, how many of those movies are there? Six?
Seven, I think.
Oh my God. So think of how much of her life she's been in those Resident Evil movies. I mean,
think of how much she's been paid.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. To be fair, I don't think Mila Jovovich has done much in the past decade or so outside of those movies.
She's been in a few things.
But, you know, those.
The Fifth Element.
Okay, well, how long ago was that movie? That movie was
a while
like,
ago. Yeah. Well, do they have that new, oh man, that new movie that's coming out by that guy.
I'm looking forward to Valerian.
That looks pretty
sweet.
Yeah,
Valerian. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever read any of the Valerian comics?
No, I never have.
I remembered that he
Isn't that,
they're French comics.
That's Grandpa Matt's, one of his online names he uses.
But Valerian?
I don't know. I don't know the whole.
Valerian is also a root that makes you sleepy.
I don't know anything about the storyline of that, but man, that was like a visual orgy in front of my face there. Like, I totally want to go see that.
Besson wanted to do it back in the 80s, and we didn't have the technology to render alien faces like that, and you wouldn't have the makeup skills. It would be very prohibitive to do something on that scale. Now that the technology's here, hell yeah, he's doing it.
Yeah. He's been directing movies for forever. He's got to be getting up there in age. I mean, Besson's been around since, God, he was doing stuff in the 80s, wasn't he? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but the 80s was only
30 years ago. I mean, depending on when
I'm
in the
look
80s.
It up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was born in 78, and
I'm still waiting for my live-action Macross movie.
He was born in 1959.
Okay, so that's not as old as I thought
and
he would have been.
And his first public movie was Subway in 1985.
Okay, so he has been making movies since the 80s. That's what I thought. Huh. All right. All right. Well, one more story for you guys, and I wonder if Dark Soccer would be interested in something like this. Dark Soccer, do you ever play your Sega Nomad anymore these days?
No, it's kind of collecting dust.
Well, Sega Nomad, if you didn't know what that is, it was basically a handheld way to play the Genesis, but it took 6 AA batteries to get 3 hours of playtime. What kind of handheld gets a crap 3 hours of playtime? My God.
The Nomad. It was seriously, if you didn't, you could get like another battery pack for it.
Yeah.
And that made it kind of tolerable, but no, it was shit for that.
And I joke because obviously the Switch is another 3 hours of battery life when you're playing Zelda, but the Switch has a dock that recharges very easy. It was very different back when you had to buy 6 AA batteries. That's money, yo.
Rechargeable batteries.
Yeah, or rechargeable batteries. Of course, you could always do that. But anyway, so somebody has decided to update the technology to be able to play the Nomad without all these necessary battery swaps. That's right. There's a new homebrew Nomad modification made by the Sega Holic, and it will let your portable system, the Nomad, run on USB power. That's right. You could use the same battery that you use for your phone, like this guy I have over here that I bought when we went to go play Ingress all day once. I can charge 4 phones at once. This is like how many – what is the specs on this? Capacity, 24,000 mAh. That's like just –
milliamp hours, yeah.
That's a step below like the legal limit for what you can take on an airplane. So, anyway, yeah, you could run something off forever off that, off USB power. So that's pretty cool. So anyway, you're going to have to probably use some YouTube tutorials. This isn't something he's selling or anything like that. But, you know, if this is possible, even more could be possible. But I just love that somebody is still thinking about the Sega Nomad this way. I love all the tributes to the old systems. Anyhow, time for you guys to give us a phone call and talk about anything you'd like to talk about that we were talking about in the news this week, or maybe something we missed, or maybe you just want to talk alcohol with us. That would be fine, too. While we wait for your calls to come in at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype, I want to check in with Loki and see if there's any last-minute stories.
Oh, I was supposed to be looking for last-minute stories?
Well,
not this week. I don't think there's really anything out there.
Usually that's what we do towards the end of the show, is look to see if there's any last-minute stories, but nothing so far. All right. Yeah. Well, you guys can also shout things out in chat if there's something you want us to talk about or banter on topic. Because I'm kind of out of topics right now. I don't know what to.
Well, Overwatch talk about. Season 5 begins next week.
Oh yeah, because they just ended Overwatch Season 4. That's right.
So that's a thing.
Right around the time for the anniversary. Were you gonna say something, Darksucker?
No.
Oh.
No.
Although
I really want Mongolian barbecue.
It's a little late. I think the restaurant. Well, maybe you have till 9 o'clock if we finish the show
soon.
I'm
by myself.
Actually, on Sunday they might not be open till 9. Now that I think about it. The one. There's a little hole in the wall place not far from here, but I don't like it as much as like the one in Roseville. Some of the other stuff. Anyway, let's see. Something I was going to mention. Speaking of Overwatch, I was going to do a stream tonight after the show over on my Twitch channel, which of course is Rob Roberts over on Twitch. And I put a poll on my Twitter to see what I was going to do. I said I'll do either Overwatch because it's the free weekend. I'll do Mario Kart 8 multiplayer because people have been asking me to play that with them. Or just something retro because that's always a good standby. When in doubt, something retro. And so far, Overwatch is actually winning. I'm kind of surprised. I thought some people thought I did too much Overwatch streaming. So I guess with the free weekend, there's more people who want to do that. So right now, that's winning over on my Twitter. But I will check in. I'll make the final call here in about... Oh, no, it says final results. I guess I set the timer to finish up at 8:30, so it is going to be Overwatch because there's no time left to vote. ActDeft in chat says, too much Overwatch. Who says that? I agree.
I guess I could try playing some more Overwatch.
There you go. You got to add me on Battle.net.
I already did. I thought submitted a thing.
Yeah, but you have to know my numbers. Did you send it to Sky at, or did you use my email?
I did through Facebook. Remember, they can link it to Facebook.
I am no longer linked on Facebook on Battle.net, I don't think.
Oh, maybe I didn't. I did Alan, though. I know that.
Okay, if you added Alan, then I can look at his friends list. I disconnected Facebook from Battle.net, and I don't remember why, but something about privacy pissed me off. Oh, Battle.net shows my real last name. Facebook doesn't. And there was something about that I don't remember what I saw or something, but it pissed me off.
Oh, so I'm not worried about that.
Yeah. So, so I honestly, Battle.net needs to let us, especially for streaming purposes, that's what's really pissing me off, is that when I stream games, I can't suppress the real names from showing up, and it's pissing me off. Like, I don't want the game to show me the real names. Maybe I got to look deeper into the options or something. I don't know. I guess I haven't been doing that. Anyway, the phone is ringing, so let's get to a call here. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Brad from Pod Culture.
Hey, Brad. Good to hear from you, buddy. How you doing?
Well, I had a call on a drunk show.
Have you been partaking in spirits tonight?
I do have a bottle of Fireball right here.
Your favorite, the standby. Have you tried Pepsi Fire, by the way?
No, I have not.
Okay, so it was described by a friend of mine on Twitter, and I kind of agree. Granted, I've only had Pepsi Fire as a Slurpee, but you know, close enough. Pepsi Fire is Pepsi mixed with Fireball, but without the booze.
What the hell's the point of that?
That sounds terrible.
I know, it does sound terrible, and like my sister is like super into it. Like tomorrow when we have like this family picnic thing, they're bringing Pepsi Fire, and I'm like, I don't want to try that.
Yeah, I have to admit, I kind of like it. Like as far, it's really sweet to me. So I mean, but granted, I had it as a Slurpee, but most soda like that is so sweet to me that like. You know, I can only use it on special occasions. I can't just drink like a whole 2-liter bottle of it or whatever. But I don't know. I could be kind of into it. But you're right. Pepsi mixed with actual Fireball is much better. But, you know, you can't drink all the time.
I wonder what,
especially
what
if you use the real sugar stuff.
That's true.
I wonder what you think of the stuff that I brought over for Rob.
Well,
that would burn
send some. Well, no, you can't do that if he's flying to Dragon Con.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there was a way, can you check alcohol in luggage?
You can if it's sealed, I think, because I've brought back wine.
Yeah, but that's factory sealed. I don't know. I'd have to look at the TSA regulations on that.
Mail it to Bobby and have him bring it.
That's true. Can you send it to FedEx? Because I would actually do that. We'd just set FedEx it to Bobby.
I don't know that you can FedEx alcohol.
Dang it.
I'll have to look it up, but...
No, you can FedEx it because wineries do it. You can ship it
somehow.
Yeah,
but it's still not factory.
Oh, and you can
wineries can't ship to Kentucky.
Yeah, you can only ship to certain states, too. I forgot about that.
Womp, womp. Womp road womp. Trip.
I know, right? Well, but with Dragon Con, people drive in from everywhere. So if you can't send it to Georgia, you can probably send it to somebody nearby. Anyway, to ActF saying you can't send alcohol. Damn it. Am I just going to have to drive to Dragon Con this year? No, I'm just kidding. I don't have the time off work for that type of trip.
Well, I just called to do a shot with you.
Oh, I appreciate that, my friend. So you're going to have a shot of Fireball with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'm going to drink some of this ginger stuff. So what are we toasting today?
Hopefully I find a damn job.
What's that?
I said, hopefully I find a damn job. But I just you're looking for an excuse to take a shot of Fireball.
Let's see. I will do a toast. Let's do a toast to E3 this year not sucking.
There you go.
I'll toast to that. Now that they've opened it to the public.
Maybe.
All right. Nice big...
I am the eternal pessimist, you know.
I know. All right.
You and me both, sister.
any chance I'll run into you at Dragon Con this year? I know you got a lot of personal stuff to tend to as well, but any chance?
Well, there's always a chance.
So there's a chance. No, I hope it will work out. In fact, you actually remind me. I think the days are numbered on us submitting the... podcast panel stuff, so I gotta harass Bobby in emails so we can come up with some ideas to try to make sure we're involved with that, especially with them not doing the Parsecs this year. It's gonna be a quiet Dragon Con if we're not able to get on any of those panels. Then again,
Dragon Con's never quiet.
That's right, Dragon Con's never quiet. I can always work on cosplay. I can always think about if there's something else I want to try cosplaying this year. So we'll see. I'm kicking ideas around, but for everything I want to do, I'd have to shave my beard, and I'm kind of like. But I like the beard, so I don't know.
Hey, at least you can grow one.
I know. I hear that complaint from some guys sometimes, but anyway. All right, my friend. Enjoy the alcohol, but not too much.
I ain't got anywhere to drive in the morning.
We'll look forward to the next Pod Culture. I know you guys are on a repeat this week, but hopefully soon.
All righty. You guys take care.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, or you can give us a call 1-877-GAME-OLR if you'd like to give us a call that way. Do-do-do-do-do. Of course, we'll just sit here and wait for some calls.
I forgot one other thing. I guess we should expect to see is another strange trailer for Death Stranding.
Oh, I didn't know another trailer came out for that.
Well, I'm assuming we'll get one with E3.
I'm sorry. I thought you said that one came out this week.
No.
That would be nice. Maybe some gameplay this time. Like, what's fucking game?
It's like, what is the game?
Exactly. It's like No Man's Sky all over again, except I know that's a horrible thing to say with Kojima. Let's see. Going to chat. Doom Plague in chat says, I played Overwatch a bit for the free weekend and quickly had enough. Oh, sorry to hear that. Let's see. ActF says Monster Hunter 5 is rumored to be a PlayStation 4 exclusive. Well, that would be interesting. That would be a heck of a thing to show at E3 if they actually did get that as an exclusive. Although there could be some type of side story thing they could always do on the other platforms. So just because 5 is exclusive doesn't mean the other systems won't get their Monster Hunter shots. I mean, after all, Monster Hunter Double X we know is going to be on the Switch, right? We know that. All right. Dark Tetsuya says I should go back to Phantom Dust. I just need people to play with. I keep meaning to fire that up and play it. I just get sucked into other games instead, but I really need to make it a point to do that this week, to sit down and play some Phantom Dust. All right, one more call out for calls, then we're going to close it up. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. But if that's all we got this week, then that's fine too. I knew with Memorial Day this weekend, it'll probably be a little shorter of a show. Some of you folks are probably out of town, maybe checking this out on the podcast feed, and that's okay too. Maybe we're entertainment on the drive home for you somewhere, and that's cool. Hopefully the traffic isn't too horrendous on Memorial Day. I know there's no way in hell I'd be making that drive from LA back to Sac on Memorial Day, because I've heard some horror stories. Actually, I think the worst is the day after Thanksgiving, or not the Sunday after Thanksgiving, whatever that is. It's like the worst day to do it, so. All right. Well, the phone isn't ringing, so I think y'all are just being quiet tonight. That's fine. That's fine. Maybe y'all just passed out from alcohol, which we might do soon, too. Anyway, we're going to wrap things up here, but I want to thank you guys, of course, for tuning into Orange Lounge Radio and being a part of the show. If you do have something you think of after the fact and you want to email us, you always can. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And you guys know the thing we ask every week here on the show, and we really do appreciate it. Tell a friend or two about the shows. A tweet. Send a tweet. That goes a long way. And of course, what really helps, and I really can't stress this enough, reviews on sites, because that helps you get visibility in the rankings. So if you can just take 15 seconds to do a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you found this show, those go an awful long way and is really appreciated. That's all we ask. I'm not asking for your money. Maybe your bits on Twitch, but that isn't technically a part of Orange Lounge Radio. That's just another thing that Rob Roberts does, as well as this show. I think the time is here for us to go around and get everybody's final thoughts. Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. Your final thought tonight.
I really still want Mongolian barbecue, and I will do it for money.
All right. Loki, how about your final thought?
I think I'm trying to play some more Overwatch this week, just so that I can say that I did it.
That's good. And you actually bought it, so you don't even need the free weekend anymore, right?
I don't need the free weekend, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And my final thought is excellent work on the ginger drink, Dark Side. It's all I've drank tonight, and I think you guys can all tell it's had its effects. So be safe out there, everybody. Have a safe weekend. Next week here on Orange Lounge Radio, we'll be back in 7 days, and it's probably going to be our last normal show for like a month. With E3 and the week off and the 15-year anniversary. Next week's going to be like our last normal show for a month. Next week on the show, YYR originally was going to be here in person again, which was going to be a lot of fun. However, unfortunately, he did have to cancel that trip due to other reasons. So YYR, we said, well, let's do something on the telephone, because we need to grill him about multitasking and some of the things that he's been working on. So we're going to talk to him a little bit next week on the show and just catch up and have a good old time.
Sounds good.
And we'll have a good old time with you guys here again in 7 days. We hope to see you again here at Orange Lounge Radio. Have happy gaming. Have a great rest of your holiday. And we'll see you soon. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.